This is the way the colonial settlers made their butter. Would anyone like to take a churn?
This is PFW in progress.
Yeah, over here. Let him do it. He's had a lot of practice.
PFW in progress.
Yeah, familiar with the motion.
Yeah, he churns it about four times a day.
With Fred Kirsch.
What's your name, Patriot?
My name's Paul Perillo.
I'm on my senior class trip. I'm here from Lexington, Mass., home state of Paul Revere, John Hancock, and Noma! Noma!
Okay, you want a churn?
And Andy. And Andy?
Ooh, wow, you got strong arms. He would have definitely survived the hardships of a colonial lifestyle.
Andy Hart.
Hey, Math in Washington. I can't understand a freaking word you're saying. That accent makes you sound retarded.
The Sheriff, Tom Casale.
Why are y'all taping this?
Yeah, I do all my projects on video because I suffer from several as yet unnamed learning disabilities.
He did not get proper nutrition during his toddler years.
Swear to God.
Yeah, his mother's breast milk's like Bailey's Irish cream.
And you never know,
Lori might stop by.
Hey, where'd you get that dress? Ye old house of juggery?
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Yeah, the job market is really ridiculous right now.
Yeah. I got fired from Tom McCann for using the foot measure inappropriately.
Apparently, my wiener is a lady size 5.
Gillette Stadium, Patriots Football Weekly here. The boys, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, PFW in progress. Thursday afternoon, Patriots preparing to take on the Cincinnati Bengals Monday night in Cincinnati. But as all our listeners from yesterday's show know, no one cares about the game, apparently. You know, these primetime affairs used to be a big deal, and you go 3-0 and blow people out. Even if there is a tantalizing shootout possibility on the horizon, no one seems to be taking this game seriously. We spent the entire show yesterday arguing who was better, Reggie Bush or Adrian Peterson. And
we spent the entire show doing that?
Well, that might be a bit of an overstatement, but isn't that what I do? I did notice a note on...
Subdued open for you, by the way.
Fine.
Gillette Stadium. It's just, you know, usually...
WebRadioPatriots.com.
Usually have a little bit more to bring to the table, especially when the A-team is in the house.
Well, what do you want me to say? It's a slow week.
Well, I think
16-0 is boring, Paul.
First and foremost...
Get used to it.
I think you need to...
Thanks. That's true. Where's the email? Oh, crap.
Email?
I'm pulling a Kirsch here. I was ill-prepared. I left it at my other seat.
There's a surprise.
Although Fred Kirsch not in the building right now. Fred Kirsch is not here. He has important meetings to get to because he is an important guy.
It's kind of a big deal.
But we do have to send out a very hearty thanks to a guy Fred Kirsch would like because he sent this email from his iPhone, which he probably paid $200 too much for. His name is Staff Sergeant Zaki Jabbar Robinson from the United States Air Force. And he sent us a tremendous spread. We got pizza, we got wings, we got subs, we got soda, we got everything we need.
This is just incredible.
And we're all going to look like Paul within a couple weeks. And Lord only knows what Paul's going to look like if we look like Paul. And Paul's choking on something.
The fat
of his throat, possibly.
I'm okay.
But yes, Staff Sergeant, and I'm probably butchering this, Zaki Jabbar Robinson.
Robinson. You can pronounce that.
Staff Sergeant Robinson, we love you. Your name is tough to say. But you are the emailer of the day.
Thank you for your service to your country.
Well,
yes, thank you.
The outpouring.
I actually feel a little bit bad because people in the armed forces don't really make a lot of money, and this guy's sending us food.
From his iPhone.
Good point. I don't feel bad anymore. He's got an iPhone.
Good point, G.
I can't afford an iPhone.
But the outpouring of affection from the nation, the leadership. I can't believe all these people that have given us.
We are lucky. We are blessed.
Kind enough to send us food for lunch. It's been huge.
We are blessed.
This particular order, by the way, is among the biggest.
The best ever. Steak and cheese with pickles. Doesn't get much better than that.
So
except when you follow it with a boneless buffalo wing.
We definitely want to thank Staff Sergeant Robinson.
You're the best.
And,
the best emailer we've ever had until you're replaced with the next person who sends us food.
We certainly appreciate the well wishes and the gestures from all of our listeners who have been kind enough to grace us with lunch.
Can he?
I don't think Fred could have even said that any better.
Can he get PFW in progress on his iPhone?
I would think. Why not?
My guess is yes.
You can do everything else.
I'm saying if Fred Kirsch was here, he would say yes. That's pretty cool.
I would think you'd be able to do that.
Oh, because it is an iPod too, right?
Right.
So.
And can't you do everything on that? You know, you have the internet, you have...
Yeah.
It's a phone, it's
everything
computer,
that the slow network
email.
Will allow you to do. That's good stuff. I like eating. But we have to thank you. And
Gary's playing all his military songs now.
I've never heard this before in my life. What is
You've
it?
Never heard American Soldier?
Nope. Is this Toby Keith? Probably shouldn't bring this up. Probably shouldn't bring this up, you know, after thanking Staff Sergeant Robinson. But that new song out by Tim McGraw, very sad. If you're reading this, it's about a guy who doesn't make it back. If you're reading this, I'm already home. Sad song, but a good song. Right, Gary? You know, not so quick on the button there. You don't have that one ready for you. WebRadioPatriots.com, WebRadioPatriots.com, 508-543-7482.
Such a cork soaker.
If you want to send us an email, if you want to talk about the Patriots, the Bengals.
Thank Andy. I got to think more people are interested in the Bengals game.
Today. I would think. I'm pretty interested in the Bengals game.
I think
there's a chance for a shootout here.
I was going to say, I think there's a very good chance that it's an entertaining game,
right.
And I don't really think you've had an entertaining game yet. I mean, obviously, it's been very positive, the games, because the Patriots have been able to win easily. But in terms of the pure entertainment of watching the game and actually having the outcome in doubt, at least for a little while, we haven't had that yet. So.
And the entertainment begins today at 1:05 or 1:15, potentially, when Chad Johnson does his conference call with the local media.
Yeah,
I'm sure fans will be able to get clips of that in one of Gary's productions, either the John Rook Show or...
John Rook will have it.
So, and Bill was asked if he wanted to throw the first jab of trash talking, and he declined. Basically praised Chad and his antics and talked about their Pro Bowl together
again,
and all that.
I don't think this one is lip service either.
Oh, no. I think he likes Chad Johnson.
I think he genuinely has
no
respect
question.
For him. And I think he goes out of his way to say that he thinks that Chad Johnson has respect for the game and that he's just a fun guy. The way he put it today, Andy, I thought that was interesting. I don't think there's an edge to him at all. Did you hear how he put that?
Yeah,
you know,
no edge.
And I think there's a lot of guys that, they do some of this kind of stuff, and they do have that edge, and maybe they are unlikable. But I don't think Bill thinks of Chad Johnson in that regard.
It doesn't really seem to bother. I heard T.J. Hushmanzada was on locally on WEEI this morning.
Yeah, a friend
they
was
asked
telling me
him,
about that earlier.
And first of all, he was very well spoken. I thought he was fine, did a good job. But okay, air quotes from somebody in the room who's not Fred Kirsch. But he handled. They asked him if he thought. If he ever was like, shut up, Chad, because, you know, you're putting us in a position where we have to. And he said, not really. I mean, he said maybe once or twice, but it's just Chad being Chad, basically. And seems like everybody takes it that way. No, well, except maybe the league and the commissioner. His only interesting thing was he hopes Chad doesn't look back when he's like 55 and say, what an idiot. Why did I waste all that money on fines and dances? But I don't think he will. I think that's his personality. He loves, as Bill said, he enjoys football. It's just natural. It comes out. That's what he is. I have no problem with it. The only time it becomes an issue is if it's something like we saw last week with Steve Smith, D'Angelo Hall, where it becomes both sides aren't – like if Ellis Hobbs and Chad Johnson get into it, but both of the guys are kind of know what they're doing, enjoying it, it's just a competitive thing, that's fine. But when it becomes physical and starts penalties and becomes an issue. And that can happen.
When it becomes – there's penalties that directly impact the game that – well, they always have the potential to anyway. You don't ever know how it's going to unfold. But that's one thing. And then the second thing is, like you said, Andy, if they're getting so upset and, you know, a guy ends up getting off his game,
right?
You know, and it affects his play, then that's when it becomes a problem. You know, it doesn't really seem like there's a lot of examples of Chad Johnson getting off his game and doing
certainly
that.
Hasn't affected his production.
It's part of the position, too. I mean, let's face it, wide receivers can be selfish. I think they always think they're open. They always want the ball. You know, we always call them the divas, and they are in a lot of regards, in a lot of ways. With you know, the very nature of the position has to rely on someone else to get the ball to them. And, you know, anytime you have to do that, there can be potential for, you know, some unrest on the part of the talkative wide receiver. But I find the guy entertaining, and, I don't see him doing a lot of things that distract his team and disrupt his team from winning. If they had 11 Chad Johnsons, I think they'd be all right on one side of the ball. You know, obviously they're pretty good on offense anyway. But you know, if they had a lot of guys that were like him, as talented as he is, I don't think they would be 8-8 every year.
And one of the more interesting aspects of Bill's press conference today, which was a little slow, and anyone who listened to it live knows it probably could have ended 3 or 4 times there with dead air. But a little bit more talk about the fact that Cincinnati does something pretty unique in that they rotate their offensive linemen. Some of it had its roots in injury. Some of it just sort of continues throughout. And he said they've talked about it with the defensive linemen here. You know, you have to be ready to go 8 deep and play 8, you know, potentially 8 different linemen that they use. And that's pretty different. I mean, usually the talk is always try to get, you know, as much continuity as you can and get the same guys playing together. But more importantly, we don't need Paul's talk. We have a very special caller on the line, Staff Sergeant Robinson. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for lunch. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. And yourself?
Good. What's going on?
Thank you very much, Staff Sergeant Robinson. This is outstanding.
That's no problem at all. It's my appreciation to you guys for all of your entertainment.
Well, we appreciate you listening. Where are you? Are you still in the Air Force? Where are you stationed right now?
Yeah, I'm in the Air Force. I'm actually in Chicopee, Massachusetts.
Oh, okay.
So I get to.
It's a small world. The World Wide Web brings it all so close, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It sure does. I was trying to look for you guys when I went out to the training camp to see if I could see Tom in the tent, but I don't know if he was up there or not.
Probably not.
So.
Probably slacking that day.
Probably.
So what's going on?
Not so much. I'm just chilling, listening to y'all. I'm catching the backlash of it on the internet over there, the latency. That part y'all were talking about.
Yeah, Fred. Fred always warns us about the latency of the internet.
I know. Where is Fred, Tom, and the leg?
Well, Fred has an important meeting. Tom is amongst the missing. He's a shady guy, and he often disappears, and we don't know where he goes to. And the leg...
The leg is overwhelmed with work.
Yes.
I believe Fred and Tom will be down for the second hour today as we do picks.
I know from experience.
We do our picks around the National Football League, and we usually do that on Thursdays in the second hour. So I think Fred and Tom will be down with us at that point.
And yeah. for the record, how do you say your first name?
It's Zaki Jabbar.
Zaki Jabbar.
Yeah. Okay. My family calls me Zaki, and my friends call me Lucky.
Lucky?
Yep.
That's what I'm going with then. Nice to have you on board, Lucky.
It's a lot easier. It's a lot easier. It
Lucky?
Keeps people from butchering my first name.
Absolutely.
So what do you think about this Patriots game that's coming Monday night? No one seems to care.
You know what? I honestly was trying to find tickets because I was thinking about driving over to Cincinnati to go see the game. But I'll just hold off. I don't think my boss would be too happy if I take another day off since I got today and tomorrow off. So I'm just going to watch it on TV like everybody else. I think that the Patriots have a good chance to win, and hopefully that happens because if they don't, my week could be kind of messed up.
Do you think I'm sure you've heard Tom and I arguing and Paul. What do you think about early talk of 16-0?
You know, at first, I mean, it's hard for any team to go 16-0. But the more that I look at it, if they can truly keep it one game at a time and focus at one game at a time, then I mean, it's a possibility.
I agree.
It's a strong possibility.
I agree. That's sort of what I'm banking on is that they do have that ability with Belichick to focus week to week and not get caught up in the hype, and I think that'll help them in their chances to do it 16 times in a row.
Yep, I'm hoping they can go 16-0. I'm hoping they can go 19-0.
That's right.
You know, I want the whole shebang. I don't want just the 16-0. But you know, as long as they make it to the playoffs and win the Super Bowl, then I'm happy.
No question. No question.
Hey, it doesn't take much to please you.
Hey, high standards around here.
No, you know, look, you know, the last couple of years have been, you know, good solid years, but when it doesn't end with the Super Bowl, it's tough after
that's
you
true.
Get used to winning the title.
Yeah, it is true. I've been spoiled. I'm sorry.
And that's a good thing. That's
yes,
a good
it
thing.
Is. It is a good thing. I mean, I don't think many fans know how spoiled they've been. I mean, because they're so used to winning. So, I mean, I think it's going to be a great year. I'm hoping everybody does well. I'm hoping we don't have any injuries. I know we always have a couple here and there. But, I mean, if they can stay healthy and they can play like they can, I think this team will go far.
I agree. Are you calling us on your iPhone right now?
No, I was going to, but no, and no, I cannot get the PFW on the iPhone live, but I can download it and listen to it later, which I always do.
Well, there you go.
And did you get screwed on the iPhone? Did you buy it early when it would cost $200 more?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I bought it, was it about 5 days before the cutoff date?
Oh.
So, but I still...
Sounds like you're unlucky.
Yeah. Even though I don't get the $200, I did get a $100 rebate. So,
okay.
For everybody that bought it beforehand, they can get a $100 rebate. All they have to do is go to Apple and hook that up.
So that rebate paid for our lunch today?
Yeah, there you go. Actually, the government paid for your lunch today.
Even better. Even better.
Hey.
So basically, you paid for your own lunch with all those taxes and
stuff.
Hey. All right, Lucky. Well, thank you for lunch. Thank you for your service, and give us a call anytime.
All right, definitely. Y'all take care, and hopefully I can meet y'all when I come out there for the, what is it, the Eagles game?
Yeah.
So I know y'all be in Dallas for that Cowboys game for the greats. So.
Oh, no question. Oh, yeah, right. we'll make sure you get your tickets to that. Yeah, we'll look into that, Lucky. Cause...
All right.
All right,
thanks,
man.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, and continue up the good work.
Thank
hey,
you.
Gary,
thank you.
Make sure you eat some food. I don't care how fat you think you're going to get.
Gonna get.
Yeah, he said if he keeps eating that food, you know, he might get as big as, I'm not gonna say who, but
Paul.
Staff Sergeant. I'm but, right here.
He
I can hear you.
I don't care if it's just a buffalo wing.
He's already had a slice of pizza and a wing, so he's okay.
Okay, then that's
don't worry
good.
About Gary.
All right, thanks.
He's not
man.
Wasting away
right,
anytime.
We'll take care.
See ya.
Lucky.
Lucky Robinson, one of our great callers, our
I'm
great
glad.
Serviceman who
I'm
is
glad he called in.
Scamming
nice.
The U.S., apparently.
Hey, let me, before we go on.
How Andy, the hell did he work that out?
Andy, before you go on, I wanted to, we got an email yesterday from Justin in Alaska.
Yes, I have it. It's
I do want to say, I did
Paul
make,
is wrong is the subject.
And Justin is right. I wanted to make sure I talked to Bill about this after the press conference today, and I asked him the question because I remembered that there was something that he talked about at the post-game press conference of that AFC Championship game about it being a no-lose situation. And what I did, as I often do, I had, recalled part of it and didn't recall all of it. And I was wrong, and Justin's right. They did have a risk of losing possession of the football on the lateral.
Right.
Where they didn't have a risk was when the ball was kicked, and we're talking about the blocked field goal that Troy Brown picked up and then eventually lateral to Antoine Harris, I'm sure all our Patriots fans remember, was a big touchdown in the AFC Championship game back in 2001 in Pittsburgh. Once Troy Brown scooped the ball up and actually gained possession, as Justin pointed out, it now becomes Patriots' ball, and any loss of the ball from that point on would be a potential for another change of possession.
Right.
And Justin is right. He talked about that. What I was mistaken about is the part when the kick goes behind the line of scrimmage and Brown went to pick it up, he could – Belichick said they teach them to try to scoop it there and not fall on it because it's going to be the Patriots'
right.
ball anyway as long as they don't establish possession. So it's worth the chance to take with all the linemen on the field. And this is how Bill talked about it with me just now after the press conference when I asked him. With all the linemen on the field, it's a great chance to take to try to scoop it and run because there's not going to be very many guys out there that can actually catch a wide receiver
right.
or, in the case of Antoine Harris, a defensive back. And That's why they teach it, that they want to try to scoop it there. They can't lose possession, and there are not a lot of athletes on the field that are going to run you down. So I was mistaken by saying the lateral wasn't a chance. I guess it was. It's the same gamble that they took on Sunday with Wes Welker and Randy Moss. So I just wanted to get that out there and explain that a little bit.
I like the end of it. He kind of knows the rule because he's a high school ref in Alaska.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, like
didn't
I
they do a reality show on a high school football team?
He did a good job of explaining it, too. I just messed it up. I made a mistake.
Didn't they do a reality show on a high school football team from Alaska and about them traveling around? Or wasn't there something?
Yeah, it was a team that just started up a team. They started a first-year program, and they took their lumps.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was on ESPN, I think.
I wonder if Justin refs them.
Well,
that's interesting.
Alaska's pretty big now.
It's a pretty big state now. Junu, where's he from? Justin, Alaska, it says. And P.S., love the new site, although when I click on the Flash player to hear PFW, it freezes every time. I'm using OS 10, OS X. Isn't that the Mac version of, like, Explorer?
I don't know.
Blank look from Paul.
That's why I said, I don't know.
Once again, Lucky, thanks for lunch. And that was a good call. I like callers that take little shots
Lucky.
At you.
Lucky.
Took shots at me?
Well, the little Gary will end up,
I think Gary was talking about someone else.
Who?
One of the current members of the Patriots.
Vince okay. Wilfork?
Maybe.
First guess. Ding, 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 ding. He's losing weight.
Okay, so I don't think there was really shots taken at me. I don't mean to disappoint you or anything. But.
This is one of the pre-mails we've got. As Gary pointed out, we got 20-something emails between the end of yesterday's show and today's show as people either listen to the podcast or get time to email. So
just so you know, a lot of those might have been for John.
No, all these were after John's show.
Oh, after John's show. Okay.
And if we want to talk about John, I can scroll to find an email I saw that really took a couple good shots at him.
Oh, good. I'm glad to see I'm not the only one getting beaten up.
Hey, guys, and the subject, Patriots on TV. I'm up here in New York City listening to you guys bombing Craig's phone calls a few hours after the show has aired and wondered if you guys have any information on how to watch Patriots games outside of New England. I thought the only way to get the Patriots every week was to get NFL Sunday ticket on DirecTV, which sucks. No, I'll just go with sucks. How's he getting the games in South Carolina and DVRing them? Do you guys have any idea if there is any way besides DirecTV to get the games? I'm usually out at the bars on Sunday drinking beers and eating wings. Sound like our kind of guy.
Yeah.
Checking out all the games, but between the Giants fans and the Jets fans talking poop for the first two quarters when complaining and weeping into their wet naps for the last two quarters, it'd be nice to just revel in some of these Pats victories from the privacy of my own tiny, overpriced apartment. I think DirecTV is the only way.
Well, what I was going to assume, though, is can you not DVR off DirecTV?
They don't have that technology? I'm pretty sure they have a DVR, a DirecTV DVR.
They do?
I think their issue was theirs was not HD.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, I think he was wondering how Craig was able to watch the games and DVR them in South Carolina.
Just DVRing them off.
But you can do it off of DVR, off of DirecTV.
Or you could buy your own TiVo.
Oh, that's true, too. But he did actually use the term DVR. I don't know if that's...
But he may have misspoke. Simon says, P.S., you guys talked about the old-school throwback jerseys the other day. I'm pretty sure I'm the only person with a number 7 Hugh Millen jersey in the country.
Oh, I think that's probably accurate. At least not with the last name Millen. Right?
Oh, that's true. One of those people that gets... Yeah. Website. Are we reading website emails or are we skipping all those?
By the way, just skip those. I liked Hugh Millen, by the way, and I've done a
lot
couple
of emails.
there's a number of emails.
All right, we'll read them then. If there's that many.
Oh, yeah, I got to read this one. This is from Jonas in Jamaica Plain. All right, Paul, no credible complaints on the website? How about too freaking wide? People don't mind scrolling up and down, but scrolling left to right is like a bed bug in peanut butter.
Can I just put the brakes on for a second? I was speaking.
No, I need to read the next line. I'm not picking on Paul.
Okay, because I was just speaking on behalf of Fred Kirsch.
I know Chris Ferreira.
I hate the new website.
I know Chris Ferreira and Fred Kirsch are really to blame. Also, in the administrative vein, does Fred pay Rook by the word? He's like the C-SPAN of football. Brian Lowe ratchets up the excitement level tenfold.
Wow. No stone unturned in that email.
I feel good. I didn't get ripped.
And Andy has a big head. It doesn't say that?
That's just a fact.
I just threw that in there.
It is what it is. Somebody just
gave
us,
when Tom hosts.
Somebody just gave us new hats, and let's be honest, it's a little snug. And it's a winter cap. It's not a fitted hat by any means. Good thing it's made out of some sort of stretchable material. PJ checking in.
PJ.
Calling out Tom.
Oh,
hey, guys.
Oh, hey. What's up, PJ?
Great show as always. Tom, I was just getting on you a bit yesterday for your Cowboys rant 2 days ago. I was trying to rile you up a bit because of my hatred towards the Cowboys. In reality, I think the Pats will beat them because Dallas' defense has shown me nothing, and I also think that BB has a knack for taking away one player, which would be T.O., except in the Super Bowl. Now let's see Patrick Creighton and Sam Hurd can beat us. And maybe they can. You never know. But I was just getting on you a bit because you were showing your Cowboys colors when you threw that cap at Andy. Hey, guys, I need to know if Tom is sweating before the game and when the Cowboys score. You have to look over at him to see if he pumps his fist. Tom, will you be rooting for the boys? Yes. That's how Tom does it. He answers the question for the listener. As for the website, I think it's fine. It is one writer that I think needs a little work. Fred Kirsch. Hey, Frank, last year's game review against the Bengals had a long snapper with a couple of field goals, and last week you had the Pats down 7-6 until Watson caught a TD pass, which put the Pats up 10-7. That's Fred Kirsch math. I didn't know you could get a 4-point touchdown. You learn something new every day. Also, I only got to see the highlights last week. Can you guys assess the play of Adalys Thomas, Asante Samuel, and Brandon Merriweather? Thanks. Paul, since you're writing about Adalys Thomas for this week's Patriots Football Weekly and have spoken to him often and consistently over the last couple of days, why don't you fill us in on Adalys Thomas?
Well, I can fill you in on pretty much everything that Adalys Thomas has told me and the rest of the members of the media today.
Not today.
And that was, no, not today. very polite, by the way. By no means was he rude to us. He politely declined.
And by every means, scary.
He's an intimidating sort.
No question.
He's a big, big man.
He's got
and he has a scowl on his face.
A little bit of the Willie McGinnis school of creates fear. Because he's a big, scary guy.
Yeah, I think that's accurate.
and similar in that they're both
outside linebacker freak athletic.
I'm less scared of like big fat guys because I think there's a chance I could outrun them for like 10 yards to get away. But when I know they're bigger than me, stronger than me, faster than me, everything meaner than me, that
worries
me.
Squish like grape.
Yes.
You know,
so what do you think about him?
Adalys Thomas, I think, in many ways, has been the key to the defense, and his ability to play inside has allowed other players to really flourish, I think, around him. And that's what I'm going to be trying to write in my story that'll be in next week's issue. Some have said that it's a waste to have him inside.
I'm just saying.
Andy Hart. I think what you're seeing is having a player of that caliber playing that spot, he's so good that he can still make an impact from in there and still allow others to like I said, flourish around him.
So without taking a shot at Mike Vrabel, he is significantly better than Mike Vrabel.
Don't you think? Inside?
Well, I
mean, he's probably better than him outside, but we haven't
general,
seen him play outside
right.
either.
Okay. Now, that's just my question there. He's a significantly better defensive
and you know,
football
you
player.
You know how I feel about
you
Mike Vrabel.
Him.
I like Mike Vrabel a lot.
You make out with him every week in the locker room.
I haven't talked to him this week, so that's really not an accurate statement.
So most weeks.
Tomorrow.
But significantly.
Thank you, Mike Vrabel.
All right. It's a big upgrade. And Vrabel has been outspoken again this year when he was asked, been a little more active, I think was the phrasing. And he said, I don't know what you mean by active. I haven't really played outside linebacker for the last 2 years, sort of implying. And, you know, he said there's not a lot of calls where he gets to rush the passer and do a lot of things.
I remember that quote.
So,
yeah.
You know, he kind of felt like you're limited what
never,
you can do inside.
He has never come out and said, Vrabel being, has
I
never,
hate inside
yeah,
linebacker.
I don't like playing inside. I feel more comfortable outside. I want to be outside so I can make more plays.
Lachey barely knew our offense, so I know he doesn't know our defense.
I've never heard him say anything like that. I think, however, that it's clear that he feels like that. And I don't know how you feel about it, Andy, but you know, I just think that he thinks that the, you know, outside is kind of what he's been, you know, more comfortable doing. And I think he feels like he can make more of an impact on the game out there.
All right, real quick, we'll close out that email.
Brandon Merriweather hasn't
Samuel.
Really played a whole lot.
Right.
I mean, so it's kind of hard to say incomplete. Samuel, I think, looks exactly the way he looked last year. I got to be
I
honest
too.
With you. I haven't seen any noticeable difference at all. I think when he's been around the ball, he usually gets his hands on it, knocks it away.
Except when he gave up the touchdown to Coles.
Yeah, and that was, you know what? I know
which
it's...
Which I would argue anyone to go to our paper and look at the picture and say, what happens after at the end of this play? Where is the ball? And you'd say, on the ground.
Yeah, and it's... look, I don't think you can defend it any better than he did. And it's one of those times that you say, and we have the whole cliche, the other guys get paid too.
Right.
Lavernius Coles is an excellent receiver. He made a play.
Right. All right. Now we're going to go back to the phones. We got Dave in the Poconos joining us. Dave, what's going on?
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Paul and Andy.
Hey, Dave.
How are you?
Listen.
The host with the most in the Poconos?
No, I'm not going to say anything stupid again because the last thing I did is repeat it on your opening show. I can't believe I'm talking to Tom Skatalic.
I was going to say, don't worry, Tom's not here.
Hey, listen, I read an article. I know we're going back.
I can't believe I'm talking to Tom Skatalic.
Yeah, I know. My wife couldn't even believe that. But listen, I...
if you only knew what a tool Tom Skatalic was.
I read an article.
Okay.
And if you guys could discuss it, and I'll hang up. It was on ESPN's.
ESPN's?
ESPN. I can't do that. But is Bill Belichick a creation of the NFL? Did the NFL create Bill Belichick, just like Barry Bonds?
I'm not exactly sure. Which story are we talking about?
There was an article on
Whatever, ESPN, with what, Greg Easterbrook,
how
maybe?
The sports create individuals.
Well,
And then it read that... It read that BB was like 7 years old, and he was in the film room with his dad.
Well, that's true. That is definitely true.
Do you think the NFL created Bill? That's all, and I'll let you discuss it. If it's not up for discussion, then it's BS.
Well, we'll always discuss it.
Yeah, we can definitely discuss it. I'm not exactly sure.
Bill's been in the NFL for, what,
his
30
almost,
years?
Yeah, his
33
entire,
years.
I mean, his entire adult life, without question. And as you alluded to, Dave, he was basically bred to be a football coach. His father was a longtime assistant coach at the Naval Academy and a lot of other places as well. And Bill, the stories go, as far back as 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, was breaking down film
right.
in a scouting capacity with his dad.
But the thing is I don't want to go back pages with the videotapes or whatever.
No.
But do you think Bill just took it just a little too far because he was a creation of the NFL? I mean, that's all. And I'm not going to say anything stupid.
No. All right. All right, no. Dave. Well,
I'll let you talk about it.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Bye bye.
All right, Dave.
No, I don't think he's the creation of the NFL. I think he's a creation of his environment, and,
yes.
and that made him. And I think that's the Greg. No, excuse me. The Greg Garber,
Greg Garber story
has that. It's a little excerpt from the Halberstam book. What the Education of a Coach, talking about when he was 6 years old in the corner of the Navy film room and all this stuff. And I think it's very telling in a lot of ways. You know, there's a reference to Bill. Not minding that his dad only came to one of his high school football games per year because he was always on the road scouting. I think you could see the roots of not just his skills as a scouter, as a film guy, but the roots of his priorities. His dad put football first, obviously. I mean, that, as a kid, wouldn't that be what you'd be taking from that? Football is important to him. It's his job. It's his desire. It's his passion. It's his life. And I think you could say Bill picked up on that, and that's how Bill has ended up.
I think that's a great way of looking at it, Andy, because, you know, that whole phrase, we think of a lot of these things as kind of Bill cliches now, but football is important to him.
Right.
That phrase is important to Bill.
Right.
Because it was his life.
Right.
And I think the way you just put it sums it up perfectly. You know, I don't necessarily think, I think how you put it, not necessarily a product of the NFL, but a product of his environment.
Right.
And I think in a lot of ways that's what...
And he tells us
he probably could never have seen himself doing anything but what he's doing right now.
Right.
When he was, say, 15,
right.
17,
and it worked
20
out
years
perfectly.
Old.
He talks about, you know, I did all those things on the early coaches he worked with and the tasks he was given by Ted Marchabrota, the car rides with Ted Marchabrota and the staff from the hotel where he would just sit there, drive the car, and soak in these lifetime football coaches picking up everything they say and everything they allowed him to do, special projects they would put him on that he even admits, maybe I wasn't qualified for, I probably should, but I learned so much doing them, then coaching special teams.
It's not an accident that he is where he is.
Remember what we talked about yesterday with players and where they end up? And part of why he's so successful is because of how it played out. It could have played out differently, but he was able to get a lot of football knowledge early on in a lot of roles from a lot of different coaches, and that has all come together and made him Bill Belichick that's had success.
You'd be hard-pressed to come up with a guy's name that was an impact coach, whether it be a head coach, assistant coach, scout, GM, somewhere along in the NFL in the 1970s, mid to late 70s, that Bill didn't have direct contact with and worked directly under or with.
And most importantly as well, most of those guys came from George Allen or these roots, so he got samplings of what came from those philosophies.
It's what you're going to see 15 years from now when it's an entire league full of Bill Walsh disciples and Bill Belichick disciples and maybe Mike Shanahan disciples, you know, with Gary Kubiak now and guys like that. That's what you're going to see in 15 to 20 years. Bill got to live that. He was Paul Brown disciples and George Allen disciples and, you know, and all the guys, George Halas, all the guys that came before them. He got a chance to work for these people who then, and it just one begats the other,
and
all of a sudden you have these great minds.
We've seen Bill, and I know, you know, Eric Mangini is like persona non grata now, and it's an ugly situation, but we've seen Bill treat some of these guys the exact way he was treated. We've seen Josh McDaniels was the offensive coordinator, but he wasn't by title. Bill was the defensive coordinator in New York. Before he was by title, he was still the linebackers coach, but he coordinated Bill Parcells' defense, and he learned all these things along the way. And you see him play out the exact same way.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
are you sure on that?
Dead positive. He was the defensive coordinator by everything but title.
Who was the defensive coordinator by title?
He may not have had one.
I didn't know that.
Just like this team didn't have one, did they? The year McDaniels called the plays and was not coordinator.
No, wasn't he the offensive coordinator? But they didn't say that he.
No.
Oh, no, no, he wasn't the offensive coordinator the first year.
Everything you see him do here and playing out is so similar to what he, because it's what coaching is. It's stealing.
Well, the other thing that
the
he likes.
Guys who steal from the best and mix it with their own drive and intelligence.
And they're smart enough to know that they have the best.
Right. I'm not saying everything he has is stolen. He stole things, mixed them with his own intelligence,
right.
And that makes him great.
And that's the key, is you have to be smart enough to know that when you have a scheme, I'll give it to you in a second. It's when you're smart enough to know that you have a scheme that is going to be successful. You know, look, I could go to work for some high school team right now, and I could watch their offense, and I could say, wow, that's a pretty good offense. But I wouldn't know the principles of that wouldn't work here.
Right.
Or they wouldn't work maybe down in Florida where the athletes are at a much higher level than they are in Massachusetts high school. It's recognizing the fact that you have a system in place that's worth studying and learning as much as you can about to expand upon it. That's what Belichick has done. He took a lot of the principles that Paul Brown, probably innovated in the NFL, and he's expanded upon them in many different ways. And obviously, 10 or 15 years from now, guys like Eric Mangini and Romeo, probably not Romeo Cornell because he's older, but Eric Mangini will be young enough that he's going to look at some of these schemes that Bill Belichick has here, and he's going to expand upon them in his own way.
Josh McDaniels,
that's how it works.
Or, you know, any of these, Brian Daboll, who was here for a while.
And he also likes the coaches that, you know, he started off, what does he make, $25 a week or something like that in Baltimore. He likes to have those young guys come in and work for it.
Right.
He doesn't want to give them a title. That's why you don't see the Patriots have all these assistant coaches that all the other teams do, because he doesn't want to give these young guys titles and a sense of entitlement. He wants them to work for it and learn.
And who have those guys been?
And those guys
are Eric Mangini, Josh McDaniels, Brian Daboll. Now, Matt Patricia is the linebackers coach here. They work their way up. When they prove that they can, he just moves them on.
And there are other guys that
have
done it and that have moved on to other teams.
Right.
Corey Undlin is on Romeo Crennel's staff.
And there are other guys who have petered out and, you know, couldn't take it or weren't the qual, and they sort of just fall out of the fast track that some of these other guys have been on.
I think it's a fascinating thing to talk about.
But
that,
I also
that
don't.
Brought up.
He's not a product. I mean, that makes it sound like the creation that they said, here's a guy we want to be successful, so we're going to put everything in place for him to be successful. I just don't think the league is orchestrated to that level, regardless
right.
of what you believe of the league. And I also, no offense to Bill, I'm not sure that if they were picking somebody, I don't think he has the greatest relationship with the league. So I don't know that he would be the guy they'd pick. I think he's a product of the environment he grew up in, the guy who we call Dad, and all of that stuff coming together with his own natural gifts and intelligence.
Yeah, just an incredible mind.
Yeah. So it's like anything else. It's players is the same thing. Paul Perillo is giving me the break sign, so PFW in progress. We'll be back after this, and hopefully Gary's looking.
The New England Patriots set a franchise record for fewest points allowed during the 2007 season.
Here's a rush, got to be sacked. Another big play.
Celebrate this historic milestone with a limited edition goal line guardian poster exclusively from the New England Patriots, free. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by two members of that record-setting defense, Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren?
Got to be sacked for a safety.
Take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer by making qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots extra points card and free goal line Guardians poster autographed by Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren.
Roosevelt Colvin, wow!
Patriots extra points, because fans want contact, too. Autograph poster limited to the first 200 with qualifying purchases. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. And hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Dumoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Hey, this is Hall of Famer John Hanna. Let me tell you about the first ever Game with the Greats. Have you ever wondered what former football players talk about when we're watching the game? Well, now you can find out for yourself at the first ever Game with the Greats. On October 14th at Gillette Stadium, watch the Patriots take on the Cowboys in the Fidelity Investments Clubhouse, along with me, a bunch of my teammates, and other Patriot alumni. Guys like Andre Tippett, Steve Nelson, Steve Grogan, and Pete Brock will be there with you to enjoy the game and just hang out. Tickets are limited because they're only $25. Visit the Patriots.com homepage and click on Alumni for more information. We're all going to be at the Game with the Greats. Where will you be?
Lunchtime for the boys. Let's listen in. Looks like it's Mexican today.
You know what I love about tacos?
What's that? Everything. Do tacos get any more kick butt than this?
But with these guys, you have to kick it up a notch.
Oh, they're about to, all right. We take a crunchy all-beef taco, smother it in nacho cheese, lettuce, tomato, and our special Southwestern sauce. Then we wrap it in a soft flour tortilla with a layer of refried beans in between.
Sweet.
Then we wrap that in a savory corn tortilla with a middle layer of Monterey Jack cheese.
And what do you think of that, Tom?
Awesome! And it gets even awesomer when we take a deep-fried gordita shell, smear on a layer of our special guacamolito sauce, and wrap that around the outside.
Andy's head might be big, but what does he think of that?
This is pretty big.
It gets bigger because we bake it in a corn husk filled with pico de gallo, then wrap that in an authentic Parisian crepe filled with egg, Gruyere, sausage, and portobello mushrooms.
Paul, what's on your mind?
Can I eat it now?
Sure, but not before we take the whole thing and wrap that in a Chicago-style deep-dish meat lover's pizza.
Fred? Frank? Jake Steele? How's that sound?
Pizza? Now that's what I call a taco.
Well, it's not a taco until we roll it up in a blueberry pancake, dip it in batter, and deep fry it until it's golden brown. Then we serve it all in a commemorative tote bag filled with spicy vegetarian chili. It's 15 great tastes all rolled into one. The new Pizza Crepe Taco Pancake Chili Bag.
It's what's for lunch. Or you can just send pizza and wings and a turkey sub.
And thank you once again to Staff Sergeant Lucky for sending us pizza, wings, a turkey sub, some steak and cheeses. We were
lucky
today.
Yeah, I mean, this is above and beyond.
Above and beyond. I would expect that, though, from a serviceman. They go above and beyond.
Sure.
They do more before 5 a.m. than we do all week. Is that the Air Force? National Guard? Marines? One of them.
Army.
And plus, these days, I got a kid. I do a lot before 5 a.m. Jackson Hart makes sure of it. We're going to get into the emails here. It's 12:45 at 1 o'clock. Fred Kirsch will be joining us. Tom Casale is half joining us right now as he's engulfing the sub that Lucky sent in. He will be on the mic in a few minutes.
By the way, Tom had a complaint. Lucky, next time, can you have the sub cut in half for him?
Yeah, apparently the local Papa Gino's didn't cut Tom's sub. Everybody else's was cut, but Tom Casale,
woe is Tom.
But 1 o'clock...
My free sub wasn't cut in half.
1 o'clock will go... Or later in the hour. Yeah,
we'll go 1 o'clock.
Yeah,
we'll go through some more emails here. We got a lot of emails.
Go around the NFL, make our picks. I'm very happy that with the number, quote-unquote, I am 500 for the season, which is a much better start than I'm normally.
Yeah, I'm the only one below 500 with the number.
It's because you stink. Anyway, we're going to get to the emails
I'm
now.
I'm beating you just picking winners.
Though. Kudos. Anybody pick can just me a pick winner. Winners. Kudos to the Patriots Photogs.
Pick a winner.
Obviously, you can't.
Richard in Falls Church, Virginia, says, the new website design is all right. Will take a little while to get used to it. I don't like the fact that it no longer opens up a separate real player for listening to you guys, but that's minor. And they're also working on that. So in the future, look for the ability to have that happen where it pops up in a new window and you can keep surfing the site, doing other things while listening to us. I don't know when that'll be, but I was told that may be in the works. I just wanted to say that every week I use a defensive picture of the Patriots as my computer desktop. Can't use an offensive player as it results in a Patriots loss the following week. I like that kind of stuff.
I do,
yes,
too.
I am responsible for all the losses over the past two seasons. Anyway, the past 2 weeks have had two of my favorite pictures to date. Last week was Adalis looking mighty scary returning that interception, and this week it's the incredible Flying Junior. Just figured the quality of still images deserves some props for being excellent snapshots. Plus, they're doing more widescreen shots, so there isn't that strange stretching anymore. That's it. Well, Richard likes what the photographers are getting done, basically.
What is your problem?
I don't know. Things aren't. I'm having problems. Now he's
whispering.
Thomas Dion checking in and says, subject, shut up, Dave. This guy, Dave, dude, give me the freaking shut up award. Get off the phone. That's Thomas from Virginia Beach.
You had to read that?
Sorry, Dave. I read all emails.
Why?
We're email driven. We are one big email family. They're feeding their brothers. We're one of them. And you're the only person who just stands there eating chips talking 5 feet from the microphone. That's not true. Fred Kirsch does it, too. Salt in Orlando. Hey, guys. I was asked a question and didn't know the answer, so I thought I'd ask you guys. Players make extra money for being in playoff games. Do the coaches make extra money as well? My guess would be no, but what do I know?
My guess would be no also.
My guess would be no as well.
And there's always a possibility that an organization could give their coaching staff bonuses, playoff bonuses or something like that. But by the collective bargaining agreement with the players' union, players' association, it's built in that it's automatic for every round. I don't think the coaches have a similar thing.
And I know when they win Super Bowls, most organizations give out a lot of bonuses to assistant coaches, scouts, all kinds of player personnel departments.
Some organizations, and we were told that because there was a member of the Patriots organization who actually left here and went to Pittsburgh, and there was talk, and I'm not sure if it's accurate, that there was a sizable bonus to all employees for the Super Bowl that year. So I think it's up to the discretion of a different organization.
Tom from Newport Beach checking in. Quick note about yesterday's show. First of all, I love the show and became a PFW subscriber just to support the podcast. Well, we appreciate that.
Thank you
without
very
the
much.
Paper, we wouldn't be
yeah,
here.
Yeah, without the paper, there'd be no podcast.
We'd
that's
be
for
out,
sure.
Which also means if Fred ever leaves, we're out.
Right.
By the way, I get the issues on Friday after the game in California, which works for me. How does that work for you? Because you don't really care? I guess that's it. I'm a podcast listener, so at this minute, right now, I'm hearing the discussion from Wednesday. First, Craig sucks. Stop begging for him to come back. I try to fast forward every time I hear the guy's voice. Damn, too late. Second, keep up the good work and stop taking Craig's calls. Wait, he just got blown up again. Thank God for Gary. That's true. It's all Gary when Craig gets blown up.
Craig's going to be all upset about it.
Phil in Salt Lake City. Hey, guys, great show. My buddy and I are planning a huge Monday night football game party here in Salt Lake City. We are excited to actually watch a game. We get tons of Raiders and Broncos out here, and really, I would rather watch paint dry than watch the Raiders. 16-0 sounds great, but I really think 14-2 is more realistic. December's Monday night at Baltimore and then Pittsburgh at home is a tough stretch, and after a short week, the Steelers would be really pumped to knock off the 12-0 Patriots if they don't lose before that. You guys are awesome. Keep up the good work. No question. That's what has me concerned, that stretch. I think that Baltimore beat up and then Steelers. The Eagles are right before. If you're going to join the show, why aren't you talking to the mic? Well, then don't talk. Hey, guys, this is from Angus Blakely. Is he a new guy?
No.
No, I'm
Tom
pausing
says,
for Tom to talk.
Tom says no.
Not on the mic. Oh, I got to throw a quick hypothetical out to any emailers who may have any interest in sending us alcohol. I would prefer that the alcohol be of the vodka or tequila variety. Paul Perillo is not interested in any hard alcohol because, as we all know, he only drinks to get drunk using Miller Lite.
I don't really drink, so it's kind of wasted on me, period.
Why'd you throw up last year in Miami?
Touche. I don't really drink.
Angus, hey, guys. I was wanting the opinions of those who think the Patriots have a shot going 16-0 this year. Since 2004, the Colts have threatened to win 16 straight every year. Compared to these Colts teams and the obvious additions at wide receiver, is there any other reasons why you think the Patriots stand a better chance of doing it than these previous Colts performances? What possible things did the Colts lack that the Patriots have? A defense. Apologies if you've covered this before. Personally, I see us losing to the Colts and Steelers at minimum due to a below-average performance by our defense in the red zone. Well, he's buying the Bill Belichick.
First of all, Pittsburgh needs to go a long way before I'm going to put them in the class of the Colts or the Patriots right now. They're certainly off to a good start, and Roethlisberger looks terrific. I think he's a very good quarterback, and I'm not overly surprised by him bouncing back. But I think, you know, beating Cleveland, beating San Francisco at home, I don't think those wins necessarily vault you to the top of the list. They've played well. The Colts be a tough game. I think Indianapolis, you know, Tom talked about this yesterday, or it might have been Tuesday. They can score with the Patriots. We know that. We know with all those weapons, they're going to put a lot of pressure on the Patriots' secondary. That's going to be a tough game. In the Dome, that will be a tough game. I think that's the biggest hurdle to overcome, no doubt.
But the only thing I'll say is that when the Colts lost to the Chargers, I don't think it was more their offense, wasn't it, that really struggled
game? That's how you're going to have to win. You're going to have to put pressure on Manning the way that San Diego did.
But I think you have to beat the Patriots the same way.
But you can't get in a shootout with the Colts, because if you do, you're going to lose. That's how I look at it. The atypical
right,
game is the one in 2003 where the Patriots won 38-34.
But don't you think if they had beaten the Chargers, maybe they would have had a chance to go undefeated?
Oh, absolutely, they could have gone undefeated. I think they, you know, I'm not one that thinks that it's impossible to go undefeated. I think you can do it.
All right, Mike.
They lost that day to a better team. And even then, it went down to the last play of the game.
Mike in Tampa, first of all. In acknowledgement of your PS, 508-543-7482 is the number if anyone would like to join us. We're taking all new callers today. We'd like to ask our regulars to step aside. We are looking for new callers. 508-543-7482.
Was that a way to get Craig not to call?
Well, the emailers are not happy about the whole situation.
Hey, guys, I'm a Colts fan in Tampa since Dungy became coach there. I was wondering what was your opinion on the Pats versus Colts. I know the game is a ways off, but I don't see any team beating either one of them. The thing that stands out to me about the Pats is how well the offensive line is playing. The thing that stands out to me about the Colts is they are stopping the run with seven guys and how well the corners are tackling. Both teams are ranked in the top five in offense and defense. The Pats have bigger margins of victory, but I think the Colts have played tougher teams. Great show. Break it down, boys.
Well, we just talked about it. Why don't you talk about it a little bit? Get your thoughts.
I think the Patriots are far superior to the Colts because I think they can now match them offensively to some degree, and defensively I think the Colts have taken a step back.
So you think they're far superior than the Colts?
I don't see how you can say that.
Yeah, see,
you got Wayne, got Harrison, you got Clark, you got Adai.
Do you have that water cap?
I got
from
Moss, I got Welker. The Patriots' offense is putting up points, putting up yards.
I understand, but you're comparing Randy Moss to a whole bunch of weapons.
I actually think the Patriots have a bunch. I think Benjamin Watson is going to be more productive as the weeks go on.
Yeah, Dallas Clark's pretty good.
I saw Dallas Clark drop every ball thrown his way a week or two ago. And
so you watch highlights of one team.
Actually, right. I watched the whole game before.
Well, Dallas Clark's pretty good. Don't tell
he's
me Dallas
fine, but
Clark
I watched
isn't
the whole
good.
Game, and I saw him drop at least four passes.
Because Ben Watson's never dropped a pass.
I'm just saying, you're naming guys. I think they have faults, too. I think they match up very equally now.
Okay.
Quarterback, wide receivers, tight end.
Now
Tom and I are fine.
Right.
We're fine.
You said
match
you match
up
equally.
That's
on offense. And I think defense, it's not even in the same ballpark. Not even in the same league.
I think if you're going to say that Benjamin Watson matches up fine with Dallas Clark,
I think the role he's in to catch three passes a game and have a little bit of an impact that way.
But I think that's
I think
discredit
fine.
To Dallas Clark's career. I think he's been a
that's
far
fine.
Better player when healthy.
He has been. He's been, more,
clearly
he's
has,
been far more productive.
He's a far better player.
I think he's okay.
I mean, clearly he has trouble staying healthy. I'll grant you that. He seems to get nicked up with serious injuries, too, that keep him out long term. I think that's a concern for Indy. But if you want to say that they match up and they're you know, kind of evenly, maybe the Patriots have an edge, I wouldn't argue with that. The Patriots
well,
have
if I had
edges.
To give an edge on offense, I'd give it to the Colts just because they've done it longer.
But you really,
but
I mean,
based on 3 weeks, I think the Patriots
this
are
isn't just
an effective
a Paul
offense.
Being stubborn with Reggie Bush and Adrian Peterson
I don't think
from
the
yesterday,
Colts,
you think they're far, the Patriots are far I think
that
superior
defense
than
is
the
terrible.
Indianapolis Colts as a
I
team.
Think that defense, when it plays a good offense like the Patriots, will get exposed.
I mean, I think
they'll
Patriots,
run it when they want and then throw it when
I'm
they
right
want.
I'm right behind you, Andy. I think the Patriots can win every game. I think they're a better team than Indy. I do. I think they have a chance to go 16-0. I put the brakes on and go over to Tom's side when you start saying.
And then
that
the other issue to me is
far superior
everywhere but Patriots.com. You match up one team's offense with the other team's defense.
Yeah, but I don't think the defense.
And I think the defense for the Patriots matches up far better against the offense of the Colts than the defense of the Colts against the offense of the
Patriots.
I would
say better, and that's why I think they're going to win. I just I guess it's semantics. It's the far superior is where I had a little problem.
Can I ask you a question, Andy? Let's suppose, now I don't think this is going to happen, so don't start off on the I'm a Cowboys fan crap. I'm just asking you this because this is the first time it'll the two undefeated teams will meet. Say they're both 5-0, okay? Cowboys. They go to Dallas, and Dallas beats them, and they don't get lucky. They line up, mm-hmm. and they just whoop them, okay? Mm-hmm. And they beat them by 10 points. Are you saying that the Cowboys now have a chance to go undefeated?
If they put it together on both sides of the ball, then yeah, I will, because they play in the NFC. And if they're playing that well,
all right.
I think if the Cowboys' defense starts making plays, they would have a chance to go undefeated.
If the Cowboys' defense can play consistently as well as the offense has played through three games, you don't
Tom,
think
I
that
think
they
there's
could?
Like four teams in football that are any good. So I think
that's,
any team that puts
I
it together,
that's
my together whole consistently has a chance to go undefeated.
That's my whole theory on the 16-0.
If you make it to mid-year with no losses, you got a chance.
I agree with that.
I just
think it's so hard for teams to be up every week, 16 weeks.
I do,
it's just,
too.
It's so tough for them because, but, like we had last week, like we've been saying.
And that's why I think they can
do it. If
you
had an Eagles or a Redskins, a team with more talent,
but I just don't think
slow.
I think there's a lot of chances where the team, say the Cowboys are the team at 8-0, and they don't show up in week 9. I don't know who they play, but there's a chance that team's not good enough to take advantage.
Right, just like, and
I think the league stinks right now.
I think there's probably a good chance that maybe two or three times during the course of the year, the Patriots aren't going to show up quite ready to play. We already saw one of them.
Chances are it's going to be a bad team on the other side.
And I
of the
think
field.
If Philadelphia or Washington comes into Gillette Stadium and the Patriots play the same first quarter they did Sunday, the Patriots end up winning the game by going away. I don't think either one of those teams has the talent to stack up against the Patriots, even on a bad day. Now, Dallas, you go to Dallas and put in that kind of a quarter and a half, I think Dallas could beat you.
Yeah, but you can't.
I think the Colts could beat you. I think Baltimore could beat you if you put in a subpar effort, no doubt.
Right. You couldn't see a game against the Redskins where their defense plays well and it gets one of those bogged down games, something like that.
Well,
see, I could see that happening.
I couldn't see the Redskins offense moving the ball well enough to score.
Yeah,
points.
I don't think so.
No.
I won't be shocked if it ever happens because that's the way the league works. But I think this team is so much better coached and so good. That's my point. I saw them do a lot of impressive things consistently
less.
With no talent.
So, okay, now let me ask you, what if they lose this week?
Then they're not going 16-0.
Right. But I'm asking, does your opinion of the team change at all if they
not
lose
really.
This week?
I wouldn't be shocked if they lose this week. They'll go 15-1.
All right, that's what I'm saying.
My whole thing is,
I think they could lose this week and win the rest of their games.
I saw this team win 21 games in a row and go 500 weeks without losing two in a row when it wasn't as talented.
And now
I think those weeks when they show up and don't have it emotionally, talent sometimes takes over and you just win because you're better.
What if Moss gets hurt?
Well, that might change.
That's
what I was wondering. Is it all Randy Moss?
No way.
Or is it all...
See, in my little mind, no. when you take away Randy Moss, you also take away the number two receiver in Wes Welker.
I think you just put other guys out there and have those run. Now, you're not going to have the same threat. They're not as good as Moss, but they're still going to have to be contended with. The thing that to me it would all be about Brady. If Brady,
if Brady goes down, the discussion's over.
Then
I
change. But other than that, they can withstand individual losses here and there. If Thomas got hurt on defense or Brady got hurt on offense, I would be concerned.
See, my thinking would be if you think they're good enough to go undefeated and Moss is the only guy who gets injured, then they should still be pretty.
I don't think.
I still think they'd have a chance to go undefeated, but I feel less confident about it.
That wouldn't affect me at all. It wouldn't make because I don't see how Randy Moss is going to keep this up.
Well, he can't.
At this stage of his career.
No, he definitely can't.
I think he's going to slow down. I think he's going to wear down. And he's going to, he's probably is going to miss some time with injuries.
Problem is, they're 3-0, and he's been the focal point of the three wins on offense. That's the only issue. Dave in Queens joining us on the phone. Dave, another Dave to the show today. Dave, what's going on?
What's up, fellas?
How are you?
Hey, Dave.
Good. Oh, man. First of all, I think all this undefeated talk is starting to make me sick. We're in the third week. If we get to the bye week, then that undefeated, then I think we can start talking about it. But it's the third week of the season. Come on now. And I also believe I'll be the only Patriots fan that'll probably agree with Tom that T.O. I'd rather have T.O. than Moss.
Oh, thanks, Dave. You're the first one.
So there's somebody out there.
I agree with you completely. T.O., he's just a beast going across the middle, going deep. Nobody he dropped passes last year, but he had the first game of the season. He had a beautiful one-hand catch in the back of the end zone, keeping both his feet in. I think hands down, he would be the better receiver to have for now, for the future, and regardless of how much of a head case he is.
Oh, thanks, and, Dave. You know, it was weird. I checked the numbers. I didn't realize he was 2 years older than Moss.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's been in the league two years longer than Moss.
He's been in the league longer than Moss?
Yeah, by 2 years.
What is he, 98 he came in? Something like that?
No, earlier than that.
Yeah, it was earlier than that. He's been in 12 years, and Moss has been in 10 years.
Really? All right.
96.
And I have an interesting proposition for you guys. All right, I just got my little parlay sheets I'm looking at. And
I wonder why you like Tom.
Yeah. Seeing how you guys are the most ass-backwards radio show, usually when you call and you have a good comment, you get tickets to a game or something, you guys ask them to buy you lunch.
Right. At least you figured out how it works.
So I figure, hey, I got two games here. If you guys pick the other two, if you guys get them right and I win, then I'll buy you guys lunch.
All right, so what are they?
Okay, I picked Patriots and Steelers to cover, both to cover.
Now, okay. This is with the number?
Yeah.
You can put the Jets on there, and you can feel very strong about that pick.
T.O. came in at 93, who's 96, one, by the way.
What, Dave?
So who's the other one? Okay, you guys got Jets and who else?
You guys got a pick?
One more. I need one more.
I don't know what the games are. What are the
Open
games?
Your notebook.
I have the games.
Oh,
Eagles 3-point favorite, Dolphins 4-point favorite over the Ravens, Texans 3-point favorite over the Falcons, Ravens 4-point favorite.
I like the Texans. AFC, NFC, it's a low number.
I don't know
number.
Who they're playing next
Dante
week.
Hall.
This is for your lunch.
Take the Texans, and we'll have lunch next week on you.
Yeah, we'll take two road teams. That'll work out for us.
But Jets and Texans. Jets 3.5, Texans 3.
What are the Jets doing?
And then just
Bills.
Then just email Gary. He'll send you all the information so you can buy us our new order of lunch.
They got to win it, though.
Oh, they'll win. We're confident.
Oh, wow. You blew them up?
Now, by the way.
I don't condone gambling over the airwaves.
No, we're not. This is just a pleasant conversation.
It's for fun.
I'm just wondering if our two teams win and his don't,
yeah.
Do we still get lunch? Because I had nothing to do with Dave's picks.
That's right. I hadn't thought of that. I'm not going to read it, but. Subject line, 2 stars, positive comments about the website. Just to keep Fred happy, there are positives and negative comments coming in. It's not all one-sided. Steve from Winchester, heard you guys talking about going 16-0 a bit early, like talking about no-hitters in the second inning. Well, if I see a guy strike out the first 6 batters and he looks untouchable, I might say, I think this guy could throw a no-hitter today. That's not the case with most Red Sox pitchers. Quick math on the chances. If the Pats have a 60% chance of winning each individual remaining game, the chances of winning the next 13 are 13.13%. If the Pats have a 75% chance of Gary, have we ever blown up an email?
Yeah, we blow this up. I hate.
Paul's paycheck is pretty secure, is how it ends. I don't know what that means.
I didn't get that whole other part anyway.
The chances of this and that, and I think it's.
See, I'm not a math guy. It's
my understanding that there would be no math.
It's multiplying it out each week. So if you have a 60, it's you basically. 6/10 times 6/10 times 6/10, I think. You multiply it out times the 13 or whatever.
Well, I mean, we know it's
we
not.
We blew it up, so let's just move on.
But we know if you did
the. I'm fine with
the,
that, Andy. Don't worry about it.
We know if you did the averages, it's not likely. It's only happened once.
Right.
Well, the undefeated thing?
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
But it's going to happen again someday, Tom.
And something
and
tells
someday
me.
Someday is December 29th.
And something tells me when they lose, Tom's going to, like, really, really bust our chops.
Yeah. Right now, it's something that's so ridiculous, but he's going to rip us.
He can't
to
wait.
No end.
He's got his little, like,
nah,
checklist.
It would have to be, like, this week. Like something like that.
Welcome to Dave Football Weekly.
But that could happen.
Here on Patriots.com with another caller. Dave, this one from well around the world in the Philippines. Dave, what's going on?
Well, I just had a couple of comments for you guys. One, and I hope it doesn't happen, anything happened to Randy Moss, do you think Stallworth could step up and maybe catch a few more passes than he has?
Catch a few more passes, yes. Be Randy Moss, no.
But
no,
why don't you, get
into,
why don't you talk about what Belichick
that,
told you today?
I actually asked Bill about that in the press conference today. I'm working on a story for next week's paper, and he said that Stallworth has had 2 very good weeks of practice. He actually talked about it with Dante, the fact that he's been practicing so well. So I actually expect at some point you're going to see that breakout game that we've been predicting from Dante Stallworth where he gets those. You know, his numbers could be low. It could be 4 catches. Tom and I were looking at his career totals yesterday, game by games. He has a lot of those games where he has three or four catches, but it's for 150
right.
yards because there's a 75-yard catch.
70-yarder.
Yeah,
the big game
is exactly the sort of thing you'd want to have if something happened to Randy.
Yes.
Because
right.
Randy's been your down the field kind of guy.
No question. So yes, I think he can step up, but not to be Randy Moss.
He's not going to do like Moss had. You know, 8 for 190 or whatever, or 9 for 190. I don't think you're going to see the big game for Stallworth be that. But it's what Tom and Andy said. Maybe 5 catches, 4 catches for 110 yards. Maybe a touchdown.
Well, I think that
touchdown.
Combined with the rest of the team would be enough to get you a win.
Oh, no doubt.
I agree.
I don't, listen, I think Randy Moss has been as good as you could possibly be. I don't think that he, by any stretch, is the key to the offense.
No, because the receivers are better. You're not back to where it's Gabriel and Caldwell.
Right.
You still have better receivers in Welker
One through
and
four.
Stallworth.
Yes.
Yeah, and, you know, that brings me to the other point I had. The team is far from a one-dimensional passing-only team.
Right.
Very balanced.
Although if you read Vic Carucci's article on NFL.com this week, you might not think so. I want to read this quote to you. Of the NFL's 5 unbeaten teams, only Pittsburgh and Indianapolis have stayed perfect with a balanced offense. Tom Brady, Tony Romo, and Brett Favre have literally thrown New England, Dallas, and Green Bay to 3-0.
That's ridiculous.
If I'm not mistaken, aren't we fourth in the league in rushing? And didn't we have two backs averaging over 4 yards a carry last game and ran more plays than we passed, actually?
Yeah, and that's ridiculous. It's an utterly ridiculous comment that they haven't been balanced.
Dallas has had a good running game. The only team I think out of that you could say is Green Bay. They don't have any running game.
Green Bay is 3-0 for one reason only, and that's Brett Favre. He's played 3 great games, and they've been able to win.
I would say four of those teams have been pretty balanced.
Because he deserves it. But I just read that and I go, don't they hire professionals over there at NFL.com?
You know, Vic Carucci is a pretty good
I was going to say, in Vic's defense, he's pretty good. I just think he missed the boat on that one. They have not. But the Patriots have put up some gaudy passing numbers. But you look at the numbers. He's been in the 20s for attempts.
Yeah. And
I think 31, I think, is the most,
rushing
right?
Rushing is pretty darn good production, I think.
Yeah, the Patriots have been pretty balanced so far. And that's why we've all talked about the offensive line has been so good.
The offensive line has been tremendous.
So, Dave.
All right, guys. Well, listen, I enjoy the show a lot. For those of us on the other side of the world, it's really good to have this stuff on the Internet, so I'll let you guys get on with it.
Wait, one quick question before you go. Are you calling via Skype?
No, I'm calling on a phone line.
Oh, okay. How much does that cost?
I won't know till the phone bill gets here, but it won't be cheap, especially in Philippine pesos.
I'm just going to keep this going as long as I can to see how much we can
make
it cost.
So make sure you keep asking them dumb questions.
All right, Dave, enjoy the Philippines, and thanks for calling.
Do you know what Skype is? S-K-Y-P-E.
Yes, I know.
Why don't you play the rest of that?
Dave actually had emailed that in, and I had seen it early, hadn't had a chance to get to it. Christian Simonelli checking in. Hey, guys, I, for one, think it's going to be a great game on Monday night. Even though we smoked them last year, Carson Palmer is healthier than he was last year. That should make a big difference, not according to Bill Belichick.
Yeah, Bill kind of shot that one down on me today, huh?
The keys will be whether or not we can get pressure on Palmer like we did last year, and if Maroney can run like he did last year. You know we can pass. Cleveland did. If those things happen, it'll be a blowout. Love the show. Keep up the great work.
Well, I don't know if we'll be able to get pressure with those 9 offensive linemen the Bengals are using.
Well, just as a point of clarification, Cleveland was able to throw the ball because Jamal Lewis had over 200 yards rushing that day.
They could do whatever they wanted.
Once you have to establish the fact that you need to stop Jamal Lewis, even a guy like Derek Anderson was able to be productive.
And I'm certainly not going to defend the Bengals defense because I think it stinks. But that game was one of just those games. You know, those games that you get during the year that's those crazy up and down games, and the Bengals play those.
I was going to say, if I'm not mistaken, Cleveland and Cincinnati played one of those games 2 years ago.
58-48, I believe the final was.
So maybe it's one of those matchup
games. I mean, I don't think their defense is that bad where they're going to give up 50 points every time they step out on the field, but it's weak.
If the Patriots don't turn it over a lot, I think they're going to name their score.
Shad Hollenkamp checking in. Subject, Clark versus Watson, the reality.
Okay.
I love how Paul rolls his eyes immediately.
Because I have a feeling I know where the reality is going.
It basically, for you guys who say Clark is much better player, is very ignorant and not supported by the numbers.
That's what
last year, Watson had a far better year than Clark has ever had. The year before, Watson had a better year than all but one of Clark's seasons. If Watson stays healthy, he's a better player. On a different team, Clark is an average to below average player. And he includes the numbers for both guys.
Let me ask you a question. Did Dallas Clark play with Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison, Paul? Edgerrin James and Joseph Addai? And, okay, I just wondered. Because I was wondering why he didn't get 80 catches a year. So maybe that's the reason.
Well, I also would say that if Dallas Clark was on the Patriots last year when they had no receivers.
He would have caught 80
passes. He may have caught 100 balls, number one. The second part that I would say, well, he's been on a great team, so that's why he's good. So I guess then Randy Moss is not that good. He's only good, you know, he's on the Patriots. He was on Minnesota when they were great, but when he was on Oakland, he stunk.
Right.
So, I mean, listen, circumstances, we talked about this a little bit. Circumstances for players can change. I mean, if, you know, a whole guy's career can change.
Use your
eyes. Dallas Clark is a good player.
Yes.
Benjamin Watson is a good player. I mean, I just think that Clark is a better player than Watson.
And you know why I say that? Because I was watching them in the biggest time of the year, the AFC Championship game, and that's the guy who changed the game. That's the guy they went to. I don't ever remember seeing Ben Watson change a game all by himself and the Patriots go specifically to him. I just think they have confidence in Clark. I don't know. I don't really know Andy's I think he has great hands from whatever I've seen.
He had great hands until
He saw one thing. So Andy saw a drop.
But if we're going to go by drops.
First of all, it was four in one game.
But if we're he had a bad game.
But if we're going to go by drops, we're going to compare him to Watson?
I've seen Tom Brady throw four interceptions. He had a bad game.
I understand that.
I think
his athleticism, I think, is overrated, too. People think he's like this athletic,
well, he's
tough
not,
matchup.
He's not an athletic guy like Watson.
I don't think he's overrated.
Oh, do you see why this guy's turned into Fred?
He's turning into Fred.
It's a whole world evolution.
All I do is go by what my eyes see.
Maybe it's that chair.
No, I was in that chair yesterday when he threw a cap at me.
I think Dallas Clark is a pretty athletic tight end. I don't think he's Ben Watson athletic, but I don't think there are too many guys that are Ben Watson athletic.
I actually don't think Ben Watson is athletic on the football field as he is athletic in anything
else. I'm talking about the ability to get down the seam and do that
sneakers.
Stuff. I see Dallas Chipping Clark
waitress.
Do that a lot. I
can guarantee you the Patriots think he's a good player because they'll be eyeing
sure
him
they
the
do.
Next time they play.
I'm sure they do, and they should. He's part of a very good offense. Strippers checking in with some interesting quotes from the Steelers on the NFL destroying the tapes so quickly.
I haven't seen
any quotes from any teams, no.
I have no idea, but I'd hoped they'd use those tapes to teach other organizations about what they did, Steelers wideout Hines Ward was saying yesterday. I don't know why you would throw them in the fire. A lot of players are wondering what happened. That's kind of like the Area 51. Who knows what's happening out there? Interesting. My imagination races, Steelers linebacker Larry Foote said. You could definitely win some big games with that style of offense, if you had the defensive calls. Ooh, that style of offense. It's an interesting little phrase there. If you know what a team is doing.
That's the follow-up right there. What do you mean by that style of offense?
I think he's going back to the old dink and dunk. Not a lot of talent, but somehow they just get yards.
But if you could find a way to get a first down
I think
you know
that
what the
style
call is.
Why is Kevin Faulk always open in the middle of the field on 3rd and 7? I think that's what
no
he's
wonder Bill didn't
there.
Answer that when I asked him last year.
If you know what a team is doing, that's not just an advantage. That's total domination. Can you imagine if Dick LeBeau knew what plays were going to be run?
LeBeau.
I like that. A nice little prop to your own DC by you going. There would be a that would be a tragedy for our sport, Ward said, especially to the Super Bowl. It would be a devastating blow. And then our boy chimes in. These Steelers are whiners. Phil Simms was on Sirius Radio when Spygate happened. He said, we knew the offensive signals of the Chargers one time. We'd be yelling out to our defense the play the Chargers would run. And we held them to 44 points, he said with a laugh. That's our boy Strippers.
You know, I've heard a lot of, you know, look, we've talked about Spygate enough, but I've heard a lot of those kinds of comments. We had this and we had that. Well, what happened when you were 14-2, talent-wise, and you played another 14-2 team and you had their signals? Did they still score 44 on you? Because if you did, then you stunk.
Right. I was going to say, when did they score the 44? Was that like 1980?
When you were 3-13 and they were 12-4, they scored 44 on you anyway?
A couple things.
Sorry about that.
Subject
I know you
headline.
Don't like my rants.
No, I wasn't even listening. I was reading.
Where's Fred?
Brian checking in says, big fan of the team and the show. I'm heading out to Dallas in a few weeks for the game from Mass, but now live in Florida. And I'm really hoping both teams are 5-0 and still playing well. Question. Have you guys been out there before? If so, where's a good place to hang out Saturday night?
Chicken Ranch.
Chicken Ranch? I don't know.
Or is it the White House?
Go to Gillies. I'll ride the bull with you. I'm going to be there with my cowboy hat on.
Do you guys go out and
chaw tobacco?
Yes, we do. Drinks on me, except for Tom. Kidding. not buying the cowboy drink.
Now I'm not chawing tobacco with you.
Playing golf on Saturday at the Dallas Country Club and have two spots open if anyone's interested. But you guys probably have work to do or get in late Saturday afternoon. Well, yeah, we will get in late.
Yeah, I don't know so much about the work thing, but yeah, we will get in too late to do that.
But there's a chance you see us on the town somewhere hanging out and drinking.
And we've never been in Dallas.
Only Fred, who had a cabbie pull a gun on him in Dallas. Right. He'll tell you that story if you meet him in a bar somewhere.
I've never been, no.
I've been to Dallas once, but not not Texas Stadium and not for a Patriots game.
Why were you in Dallas?
I went to a wedding in Texas.
Ah, nice. Is everything bigger in Texas, including the weddings?
No, that was the infamous wedding that I had to clean up after, even though I was part of the wedding party. I've told you the story. The finishing tables away, a bowl of Fritos.
Yeah, you did tell me. That's not what I'm looking for.
No.
Best offseason ever,
not
question
that kind
mark?
Of cleanup time.
Is Fred coming down?
He said he would.
Best offseason ever, question mark? Do you guys think the Patriots may have had the best offseason any team has ever had? I don't even think they had the best offseason they ever had. Go back and look at that draft where they drafted, like, John Hanna and every other piece of the puzzle for the next 5 years. Almost all the players they acquired are not only contributing but becoming stars. What team has ever added the equivalent of five starters with two potential Pro Bowl-level players to a team that was already championship level? Well, it wasn't already championship level, because if it was already championship level, it would be coming off a championship.
The 49ers, but they were cheating.
Well,
it is what it is, as Bill would say.
We got Thomas.
He says
Welker, Stallworth,
Moss. Thomas, Welker, Kyle Brady, or Dante Stallworth, because one of them could be starting, I guess.
Yeah.
Sammy Morris.
Well, Morris is the starter.
He's not treated that way. He's doing sit-down interviews every time I look up.
You have Deion Sanders, Tim Harris, Chris Dolman, the safety from Arizona.
Tim McDonald.
Those are the ones I could think of off the top of my head who San Francisco got that year. They had like an all-star team
and
that
they clearly
year.
Were,
sick.
And they clearly were cheating, so that was a little bit different. But, you know, I'm not a big fan of is this the best that ever.
Because I can't remember.
Patriots fans seem to be overly preoccupied with that. Am I wrong with that?
No, Patriots fans, including Mike from Columbus, who sent that email, and are a little bit preoccupied with we're the greatest ever at everything we've ever done. And we'll get back to more of those types of emails after this break from PFW in Progress.
The PFW boys will teach you the basics.
All right, you guys, it's first down. I'll hike the ball on the third set hut. Kyle and Cartman, go deep post outs. Kenny, run a slant up the middle. Butters, be ready for the screen.
Eric might need a little more time.
Right. What are we playing again? Football. Got it.
Patriots.com radio.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats! Woo! Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Hunger stands no chance against the new Bacon Lover Supreme Omelet Breakfast Sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. Supreme Omelet Egg with crisp, thicker-cut pepper bacon and Colby Jack cheese. Hurry in today for a whole lot of sizzle, because this irresistible combination of flavor won't be around forever. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. For a chance to win big, visit DunkinDonuts.com today to win great football prizes. Prizes include 42-inch plasma TVs, signed official game balls, and JetBlue flights. And don't forget to try a Bacon Lover Supreme Omelet Breakfast Sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. Price and participation may vary. No purchase necessary to enter to win. Offer valid 8/20 to 9/30. Must be 18 years or older to participate. Must be a U.S. citizen. Limited time offer. Visit DunkinDonuts.com for official rules and a chance to win.
This is a story about a girl named Lucky.
And we're back. What song is this, Gary?
Lucky.
From who?
Britney Spears.
Britney Spears? I've never heard this before. Is this old school? Is this old school Britney?
Is this no new school Britney.
Stop. Well, there is. There's a new one. There's
a lot. There's a song.
Hey, you know this song.
Yeah, you
play
do.
The chorus.
You definitely know this song.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that.
Lucky.
Yes, once again, the emailer of the day is our friend Lucky.
Lucky.
In the United States Air Force, who somehow charged Lucky. Our lunch to the United States government, which sounds like it could get you court-martialed, in my opinion, but as did his little plan to drive to Cincinnati and watch the game, despite he didn't have any days off.
Now, that could have gotten him court-martialed.
Isn't that called AWOL, absent without leave, and you end up court-martialed? Although, you know, I used to think court-martialed Lucky. Meant you got shot. I literally thought they, like, for some reason, I thought they took you out into the courtyard and shot you.
I'm all for it if you're involved.
I hate you.
Why do you have to be so mean?
I'm just saying. All right, let's get to a few more emails. Are we just going to start without, in like 20 minutes, we'll just start without Fred? And
I guess so.
Yeah, if it's just going to be the three of us, I guess just we don't need more than a half
three
hour.
Of us. That's a long email.
Mister, I read every email.
Strippers. Shut up. Strippers chops in.
Why?
Who do I start, Watson or Winslow? Kellen Winslow. Why does that sound funny?
Who's Cleveland playing?
The Ravens.
Watson.
I'd go Watson, too.
Winslow's been on fire, though.
Watson's three straight touchdowns.
I know. It's a tough one because I don't think you play the Ravens. I don't think they're going to get many big plays. You're probably going to have to dump it off to the tight end. I don't know. Just if they like Watson, take him. It's a tough
one.
Yeah,
go Watson. Then you can root for the Patriots and get your fantasy points out of it in the same deal.
You get those big points for receptions leagues. I'm starting to learn the jargon a little bit from reading just a fantasy.
Gary printed out an email that he really wanted me to read. It's from our, good drunk friend in Ireland, Patty.
Oh, good.
Hey, guys, great show yesterday. Before yesterday, I thought Perillo was an old, fat, bald, boring slob with a grating personality.
Thanks.
But that was until he unloaded on some poor emailer yesterday. Perillo went on a rant that even impressed Tom Casale. I much prefer this badass to take-no-crap Paul rather than the kinder, gentler Paul we were stuck with for a few weeks. It's been like 8 years, isn't it? P.S. Everyone knows Andy has no real football knowledge whatsoever. In the past, he was normally good for the odd joke or two, but not anymore. What's the problem, a-hole? No new material? Hell, the leg is only on for 10 minutes a week, and is even he contributes more than Andy. Just shows how drunk this guy is. Now he's like in a coma, induced by that vodka that comes from potatoes.
You know what I find funny?
But if anyone wanted to send me any alcohol, vodka would be at the top of the list they could send me.
You know what I find funny? Is that you make fun of me all the time for going on these stupid rants that I go on all the time. And then the emailer writes in and says, he's just a bump in a log and doesn't do anything. And you're like, yeah, right. Yeah, I know. He just sits there.
That's true. You've been ranting a lot lately. You ranted in the locker room today.
As you said.
Everyone was
as
sharing.
As you said earlier, I go, "That's." I looked at you and said, that's another rant for you. He goes, what, today? What, not this year?
Is Mark Capella Italian?
Yeah.
Because you two are really going at it. You had a nice little Italian-on-Italian fight today about Derek Lowe and J.D. Drew.
That's how we talk.
Just so you know, there were media members stopping and looking when you guys were at the height of it. Because you guys were very animated. Anyway, Bengals talk from Tim Stevenson. Okay, guys, I'm one fan that is definitely interested in talking Bengals. Here are my five keys to the game. Now, we'll see if these match up with Paul Perillo's five keys on. What's that show you do, Paul?
I don't do five keys.
With Christina Acra?
5 points with Perillo.
5 points with Perillo. Bang, bang. Where'd you steal that from? Oh, Mike Reese. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm sure Mike Reese invented this.
What, you think somebody had 5 points before him?
I'm sure he did invent it on the blog format.
That's true. One, being physical on defense.
Just kidding, Mike.
We know the Yeah, because, well, forget it.
Well, because I really like Mike, and I don't want him to get mad if he took that the wrong way. Because I know he'll be listening.
Took it the wrong way? Was there a right way to take it?
I know he'll be listening, or someone will be listening for him.
We know that the Bengals, what the Bengals' passing attack is capable of. They remind me of a great deal of the Colts from 2005. I think we'll play them exactly how we did the Colts that year in the playoffs. Our linebackers destroyed the Colts receivers coming off the line that game. We just beat them up. I think the coaching staff may look in that direction again to slow down the Bengals.
Then it better snow.
Well said.
That's all I can say. That's because all you if you're going to use that style, you're going to expose yourself to big plays.
Two.
And you don't give up big plays when there happens to be gale force winds and snow blowing around.
Two, ball control on offense. Plain and simple here. We need to keep the time of possession in our favor, as they have done, what is it, like 35 we've had through the first 3 weeks?
We've had 35 at the minimum?
I believe so.
That's very impressive.
If we're on the field, Carson, Chad, and TJ are not. I don't see them stopping our running attack, which should be used early and often. Barring turnovers, we should have no trouble doing this.
1,000% in agreement with that one.
Tom? You're right over there, Tom. You want to chime in anytime on these?
You know, Tom's a little mesmerized. He has a little sheet with numbers on it. In front
the games.
Get pressure with the front seven. It's hard to say how much we blitz the Bengals. I hope we don't much, other than the three down linemen, of course, and either Colvin or Vrabel on one side. That's not a blitz. If the defensive line can get
that
pressure.
That was a Tom add-in right there.
If the defensive line can get pressure and we can keep seven or eight back, the Bengals have no chance combined with our physical play on defense. Well, I'm not so sure I agree with that. I think we could have seven or eight back and still get beat.
But I also
they got pretty good receivers now.
But I also think if you can get pressure with three or four guys, just three.
I mean, let's be honest. Chad Johnson spins guys around. And you see him catching the ball. There's nobody within five. He fair catches it in the end zone.
Yeah. No,
that's what Bill told us.
It was one play where he did that. Who was it? It was against the Ravens, I think, in the first week where he was just standing alone in the end zone. So now that went from one play.
So you're saying Bill is like me?
That's what he does now. He just
I saw Dallas Clark drop one pass and he has no hands.
That was like when we were preparing to play Cleveland a couple of years ago.
They can score from the one or whatever.
Yeah, they can score from anywhere in the field. Well, yeah, right. Andre Davis did have that 99-yard touchdown. However, they scored 15 other points the entire year.
Screw Fred. Get to the picks. Who said that? Oh, that's from Gary Gadecki. Let me read a couple more emails. I got to get through the five keys. We've only done three. Christina Acker doesn't kick Paul Perillo off Patriots today when he's in his third key.
Christina Acker doesn't have anything to do with that.
Oh. Four. Keep
Otherwise,
the crowd out
maybe she
of it.
Would.
Let's face it. This is a road game on Monday night. If we score early on them, it will suck the life out of the place. They know what our team has been doing to teams, so some hope will be lost if we can go up 10-0 or 14-0 early on.
Yeah, I agree with
that. I think
that
that's probably pretty accurate.
Yeah.
A Monday night game, these guys get out of work at 5, they're drinking for 3 hours. You know how you get when you're drunk. I mean, if somebody wallops you, you can get all depressed.
Go back to Tom's thing about Minnesota last year, and that crowd was going crazy right up until the time the Patriots went down the field, scored,
the
and the game
play.
Was over.
Oh, this is the guy from Dartmouth, Nova Scotia. And last, the kick and punt teams. This is probably a little underlooked. If our special teams play well, and force the Bengals into marching down the field, that betters our odds, obviously. We can't allow returns out to the 40 or 50-yard line. Keeping them inside the 30 to start drives.
That won't be a problem. They have Skylar Green. He's terrible. Yeah. Absolutely terrible.
Solid points, though.
Well done from Tim in Nova Scotia. Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, to be exact. Go Indians, or whatever they are in Nova Scotia. Andy in Vermont checking in. Monday night. I hope the Pats defense can make the Bengals turn into the Bungles. I know that's not an easy task, but Bill always has a great game plan for the defense. If they execute properly, the Pats should win. And it does worry me, though. I'm not sure the last time that Cincy was on Monday night. They might be fired up, and they're at home. But that defense has some holes. I think this new Patriots offense should tear them up. No turnovers, sack Palmer, hit him a lot, stuff the run.
I know the answer to the last time the Bengals were on Monday
ago.
Night. 2 weeks ago.
Well, you know, it's been a while, so they'll be fired up. This is, who's this? Pat Franken. A couple of points. One, I'm wondering where everyone is worrying about our running attack. Right now, the Patriots have three running backs who are averaging more than 4 yards per carry. Maroney, 4.7. Morris, 4.6. Falk, 5.7. Shame on you, Heath Evans. I have been a Pats fan for a long time. I can go back all the way to 2003 when the thought of having a running back who averaged even 4 yards per carry was an unfulfilled dream for close to a decade.
That's not true.
It was the team that didn't average 4 yards a carry.
It was the team that didn't average 4 yards a carry.
Right. And
Curtis
Martin
averaged 4 yards a carry.
They are averaging 4 yards per carry as a team right now, too.
And if I'm not mistaken, well, go ahead. You can keep reading.
We are in the midst of a Patriots running game heaven, and we can't seem to enjoy it. And it's only going to get better this week. Two, Ron Jaworski made a great point on Rook's show. Rook had Ron Jaworski on? Did Rook go, Jaws? That's what I would have done. The Pats are not only balanced in their total offense, they are balanced in their running attack, meaning they can hit both inside and outside with equal ease. Most teams can do either. Few teams can do both. Three, Tom has reached a level of reasonableness with both the listeners and emailers that is starting to piss me off. I'm even starting to agree with him occasionally. I guess this marriage thing is starting to work for him. There might actually be a mensch under all that bullying and bluster after all. What's a mensch?
I don't know. I think it's the sleep mask.
If I'm not sure, is that a Jewish word, mensch?
And what does it mean, Gary?
I think so.
Kind of like yenta?
I bet it means something different than yenta.
Call Bilo.
No, it definitely means something different.
Didn't we learn a word from Felger last week?
Yenta.
Oh, it was yenta?
It's like...
Gossips?
Yeah, gossiping.
So what's
usually
a
usually women.
Probably a douchebag.
I know what it rhymes with. That's what I'm going with. I'm going with this bad.
The only thing I didn't quite understand was his reference, maybe, and I have it here because Gary printed it out. I go all the way back to 2003 when the thought of having a running back who averaged even 4 yards per carry was an unfulfilled dream for close to a decade. I mean, they had four guys last year average 4 yards a carry. Dylan Maroney, Falk, and Evans. They didn't have one, they didn't really have one in 05. 04, you know, they had Dylan and Falk. 03 was a bad year running with Antoine Smith. But in 02... 3.9, I mean, that's 4 yards a carry. 4 yards for Antoine Smith in 01 when they won the Super Bowl. Right. So, I mean, I'm not really sure what that means. Anyway.
I think he was confusing the team couldn't rush for
the
4 yards a carry.
Yeah, that was...
That was back to like 86.
That was a long time.
Isn't it like 25 years?
I think it was 85.
But around a quarter of a century would be accurate?
And I remember that was a big thing for the team. That meant a lot to the team.
Good.
I remember talking to those guys.
Pat from Minnesota. Hey, guys, with all the energy over the last week spent by people trying to come up with a name for the Patriots offense, which I'm sure Coach B would love, including acronyms for PATS, it dawned on me that you could apply this to your show. PATS could stand for the Paul, Andy, and Tom Show. To include Fred, we could call it Paul, Andy, Tom, and Steel. Finally, when Fred is gone, you could use the whole team name and refer to the show as Paul, Andy, and Tom Riots. Oh, Patch Riots. Ah, I see we're Riots. Okay, go ahead and blow me up with your sound effect. I had a little extra time on my hands. I enjoy the show. Thanks for that. Well, how much do you enjoy the show? I don't believe I've seen a register from Papa Gino's with Pat's name on it buying us lunch. Step up. Oh, nice. Dan Heffron checking in. Mensch is Yiddish for a good person. Whoever was using that, oh boy!
No, I think he said
that was quick.
I think he said that I wasn't.
And Ari Sky checking in. Mensch,
said maybe there was a mensch underneath all of that bluster.
Mensch is a Yiddish word. It means literally man, and is meant to connote a gentleman or decent person. Tom, a mensch, interesting.
Now can you say the definition of connote?
I just wanted to say connotate. And it says connote. I would never, just so Ari Sky knows from Herndon, Virginia, I would never use the word connote in spoken English.
Just so you know, if that was Tom or I, or especially Fred in that seat and said that like that, you would have made fun of them.
And as I've always said, that's what I do.
You would. I'm just saying you would have.
I make fun of everybody.
Don't get
I've already
mad at
been
Gary.
Yelled at by my wife for making fun of my 5-month-old child. I make fun of everybody.
You're just a bad.
There
you,
is no
you
one
my
exempt.
Friend, are no mensch. That's for sure.
Okay, maybe I'm a, what was that other word? Dan Heffron, possibilities for 16-0. I think all the talk about 16-0 is premature. Here's a little probability. No,
douchebag.
Here it isn't. Sorry, Dan, we love you, but we're not reading probability.
We have enough trouble reading the probability that appears in our paper.
Go ahead, use your, oh, Jesus. go ahead, use your little line. I was told
there'd be no math.
Being hypocritical, we don't need to do that. Oh, I wanted to get to this one. Jeff in Vegas. Hey, guys, did anyone catch old friend Daniel Graham? You're not allowed to refer to them as old friend in Fred.
Yes, that
world.
Is correct. Fred does not allow you to use that term.
Dropping a critical fourth down pass last week that cost the Broncos the game. Guess he's up to his old tricks in Denver.
I had to admit that I loved Daniel Graham, but I had to
And then
admit
he got a penalty, too, right?
Well, then he got up and spiked the ball. It was an irrelevant penalty.
No, I know.
Was
but
over, but have get up composure. And spike the ball.
You've been dropping balls for years.
Yeah,
you should be used to it by now,
you know, being a Patriots tight end and all.
With regard, sure we'd be saying the same thing about Ben Watson if he went to Denver, but now that he's here, he's a Pro Bowl tight end.
It's a whole world evolution change.
It still takes him twice to catch the ball. He catches it, it bounces off, and then he catches it again. With regard to the website, I've been a frequent visitor for my many years, and the current installment does seem a bit cluttered and confusing. I can usually find what I want, but it can get frustrating trying to navigate around looking for something. Also, thank you for getting PFW Podcast up sooner, Chris Ferreira. For a while there, it was taking a really long time, Chris Ferreira. Craig from South Carolina isn't the only one who plans his life around listening to you guys. Keep up the good work. Well, Jeff, thank you, and feel free to send something from Vegas. Ari Sky, this is from his earlier email, not about a mensch. Question. Hey, guys, great show as always. Thanks for making lunchtime enjoyable. Two questions. One, I've noticed that the Vegas line has the Pats favored by 7 points Monday night, which actually means 10 points without the credit for home field advantage. What is your reaction to that? These big spreads make me a little nervous. There's always the trap game factor to worry about. You want to react? Anybody?
It's right on the money.
Right on the money, according
to you. I don't understand why big spreads would make people nervous.
Because it's Fred. No, these they get uncomfortable when everybody's telling them they're good and they should blow people out.
It's only for gambling purposes. It's not like
it's not who's going to win.
Should the Rams be nervous that they're 13-point underdog? Should the Cowboys be? You know what I mean? Like, it's just a number. The better team, as Bill would say, the better team will win on Sunday. These numbers don't have anything to do to decide the game on Sunday.
Sorry, Ari, I'm not getting to your second point. A new email just came in, and I'm sure it's a setup, but the subject is, please read this. Andy is the greatest, and yeah, I'm a sucker for hook, line, and sinker here, baby. Hey, guys, the emails are coming in at a ridiculous... Ari just checked in with a definition for canote. Andy is the greatest from Henrique Finzi Jujustin. Hey, guys.
Sounds made up.
Henry here from Oslo, Norway, in Europe, in case we're idiots. We are idiots. How are you all doing? Andy deserves a big raise. I sent in one email long ago and haven't written since, but now I feel the time is in. Yeah, I want to talk football and all, but first, to Craig in South Carolina. What is the matter with you?
Poor Craig.
Should I read this? Oh, wow, this is long.
But it said Andy's the greatest, so I have to read it.
Yeah,
Blow it up.
Sometimes I listen to John Rook, and I heard you listen to like 7 different radio stations. I didn't know this was so long. It's a phenomenal email, Henrique.
It's a phenomenal email.
So let's get to the football. Over or under? Tom Brady throws 3 TDs.
What, this week?
Over or under? All season, I'm guessing you're taking the over.
I don't know. I'll go over, I guess.
I'll go under.
Ooh.
I think actually 3 is a good number.
Yeah, that's what I think.
But if I have to say over or under, I'll say under.
Yes, he did not give push as an option. Tom Brady throws for 300 yards.
Over.
Over.
Tom Brady throws 1 interception.
I'll say yes.
I say
true.
1.
1. True.
It was over and under. Push wasn't an option earlier.
Well, now it is.
Okay. Then I'll say
under.
Under, I guess. I don't know.
Lawrence Maroney runs for 1
over.
Touchdown.
Over. No, I mean, it's 1 touchdown. Push.
What did you think? It was 1 yard?
No, I thought you were going to say 100 yards.
Yeah, that one's coming. Did you over or under on the 1 TD?
Under.
0? Lawrence Maroney.
But if I think he's going to rush for 1, it's
I don't
not
know
over.
Henrique sets up the game. He's in Norway. They play differently.
You need
there.
To have halves, Henrique.
You need halves.
You do 1.5, 2.5.
Lawrence Maroney gets 100 yards rushing.
Over.
Over.
Randy Moss gets 2 touchdowns.
Under.
Dante Stallworth gets 7 receptions.
Under.
He's been practicing well the last couple weeks. I was talking with him about it.
If you said 100 yards, maybe I'd take the over.
Wes Welker gets 8 receptions.
Under.
Under.
Roosevelt Colvin gets 2 sacks.
Over.
Under.
Chad Johnson gets 5 receptions.
Over.
Carson Palmer throws 1 touchdown.
Over.
Carson Palmer throws 2 interceptions.
Over.
I think it's 2, so.
I think he's throwing them up for grabs. I watched that Seattle game last week. He does that against the Patriots, and Samuel will get a couple.
The Pats get 4 turnovers.
Under.
Over.
I thought he was throwing it up for grabs.
Well, 5 times?
No, but if he does it 2 or 3 and then you throw in a cheap fumble there somewhere, a strip sack for the cheap guy over there, Roosevelt Colvin.
It could happen, but, you know, 2 and 5, that's a big gap.
The Bengals get 2 turnovers.
Under.
Under.
All right, you guys, that's it. The show is simply the best. Andy, you're the greatest. I agree. Don't let anyone get into your head. Don't worry, I don't. Tom, you're great too.
Although we could crawl into it if we wanted to.
That was Andy Hartlake, right?
We have a couple of families living in that.
All right. Tom, you're great, too. I would like it more if you started to fight with more with the emailers like you used to. No one likes the new Tom.
I know.
They want you to fight more. Paul, you're a good guy. You have a great personality.
Hey, thanks. Said chick should have a bag on her head.
I loved it yesterday when you argued with some of the emailers. They like it when you argue. Apparently, they just want us to just flat out yell
at all
the emailers.
It's funny. I did get an email off the show yesterday that said not to do that anymore because it wasn't my personality. But evidently, the people have spoken.
Nice to have you back, Fred. I have got nothing to say about Eric Scalavino. Thank God he's not here.
That's going to hurt.
You see what he's going to cry himself to sleep.
You know what the problem
on his
is
tiny
for me?
Little pillow.
The problem for me is I have so many fans now. You know,
so long, guys.
Before
from
people
your man
didn't like
in Norway. I'll read the rest of this later off the air because it looks like it could. Although you take about four paragraphs to rip, Craig. Lucky checking back in, and that means he gets as many emails as he wants today because he bought lunch. Hey, Gary, I know you're creative with the sound bites, but stop with Britney. Can't stand the crackhead for making that song. Tell Tom I said it's not my fault they didn't cut his sandwich. Sorry about that, Tom. But if you can't get your fat ass up and find a knife, then that's not my problem either.
I didn't say it was your problem. It's Papa Gino's problem.
Take it easy, Tom, before you get your panties in a bunch. You're still my favorite of the crew. Great show again. Great show once again. Maybe I'll get a chance to meet all of you in the future. Oh, and tell Frank that he could at least show up to eat the food I buy. Well,
just so you know, he did show up to eat your food.
Little behind the scenes story. He was here but made us say that he wasn't.
Oh, he was here?
He came down to eat.
He had wings and a sub and then walked out the door with a binder under his arm to go to a meeting. He's got NFL memos. Ari, Webster's definition of connote, to mark or suggest in addition to literal meaning. Ha! Take that. And I'm not even a journalist. Neither am I.
That's for sure.
I got to go an hour and 40 minutes back to get that recording.
Should we start to go around the league now since
it's got 20 minutes?
20
yeah,
of?
I think we should.
All right. Tom Casale.
All right, real quick, though, let me go over the last week's results. The individual week, let's see. It was Tom and Paul at 11-5, Fred at 10-6, and Eric at 8-8, Andy 7-9. That's just absolutely pathetic.
Well, you know what happened? I made the picks in the press box. I was trying to cheat.
Yeah, that's true.
That worked out for you.
That's true.
I was trying to base it on scores that were already in progress.
All right, so and by the number, let's see, it was Eric at 9-5-2, Tom and Fred at 8-6-2, and Andy and I at 6-8-2. So, for the season, through 3 weeks, Fred and Tom 34-14, Paul 33-15, Eric and Andy 29-19, with the number, again, Tom and Fred at the top 23-21-4. Then Andy and Eric 22-22-4, and I am last 19-25-4. There you go. Go ahead. What's the first game there, T?
You don't have the list of the games.
Nope.
Oakland and Miami. Miami is a 4-point favorite. I'm going to go with Miami here.
Where's the game?
It's in Miami. I'm going to go with Miami here. I just got a hunch that they're due for a win, for a good game. I think Oakland's played a couple of real close ones, and they suffer an emotional letdown here. I'll go with the Dolphins.
And Culpepper's going to start, right?
Well, if that's the case, then I'm really going with the Dolphins.
Do you want to go?
I will go, and I will take the Dolphins at home. Trent Green, big game. He had 300 last week, right, in a losing effort?
Yeah.
Now he gets it done, puts it together. He's my comeback player of the year, so I want him to roll.
So you taking both of you guys taking them both sides?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you guys. Although, any fear of Culpepper against Miami, maybe he comes up with a big game?
I just think he stinks.
Okay. My
fear would be that the Raiders' defense gets some turnovers, and that's how they win.
I'm coming around on this whole thing. I don't think the Raiders' defense – keep saying, they got a pretty good defense. I don't think they do.
No, I don't think they do. I just – the way they play with their aggressive style, I know – Green's had some trouble getting sacked and stuff, and he fumbles a lot. So I'm thinking that their defense has been poor this year, I would say.
You know, and I just think that it's
Although
one
the
of
Packers
those things.
Do, apparently. Nobody can score on them.
It's one of those things that, you know, everybody says, well, they have a good, you know, good secondary, good pass defense. Well, you know, maybe last year that no one decided that they needed to do anything against them, and they just went in and said, as long as we don't turn the ball over, we got to win today.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll take Miami both sides. What's the next game?
Houston is 3 at Atlanta. I'll take Houston easy in this one. It's one of those AFC-NFC matchups. Houston playing well. They played the Colts pretty tough last week. Atlanta's going to win three games this year at best. I'm just hoping this isn't one of them.
I'll take Houston both ways. AFC-NFC, the ship is sinking in Atlanta. It can't. I didn't think it could bottom out much worse, but Bobby Petrino in over his head as a pro coach. Collect the nice. What did he get one of those like $20 million deals or something?
Because
if so, good for him. He set his family up for life, but it's a terrible experience. Go back to college.
Yeah, I'm impressed with Houston. I think they are a team on the rise, and I think I mentioned last week if this was an NFC team, I think it would be a playoff team. I think they'd probably be hard pressed to do that in the AFC, but I think they're improving. I think Kubiak is doing a good job, and Schaub so far has been certainly worth the target that they put on him to go out and get him. Yeah, I think Texans are on the rise.
Next game, Baltimore 4 at Cleveland. This is a tough one for me. I think I'm going to go Baltimore and Cleveland with the number because I kind of want to pick Cleveland here. I don't like this rotating quarterback stuff. And, you know, the Ravens haven't really impressed me this year. I think they could get upset, but I'll go with a better team and take Cleveland to cover.
I'll go with the Ravens both ways, although I agree. They have not necessarily been impressive. I got to go with the team that I think in general has more talent, but I won't be surprised if this is a ugly, dragged-out game.
Yeah, this is always one of those games that Cleveland seems to, at home against Baltimore, they seem to play well. But I'm going to take Baltimore. For the third week in a row, they'll probably screw me with the number because they've had big leads the last two, and they've kind of folded up in the fourth quarter. You wouldn't think that their defense would be doing that, but they have 2 weeks in a row. I think they're going to get it straightened out this week and really concentrate on finishing strong and therefore hold on to a lead that they'll probably get on the road.
Another road favorite, Chicago, is 3 at Detroit. I heard, you know, Sean Salisbury says some stupid things, but when you say the following, Brian Griese has as good a mechanics as any quarterback in the league, I mean, seriously, I just, you know what, maybe the Bears are going to rally. But I am really rooting for them to fall because this all of a sudden Brian Griese's an NFL quarterback. The guy stunk for 10 years. I'm going to go with the Lions here. I think the Bears are beat up on defense, and I think the Lions' offense at home moves the ball enough to win.
I'm going to take the Lions as well, Bears defense. Too many injuries. I don't think Brian Griese is this godlike answer that some people think he could be. I think their Bears are going in the wrong direction because the defense, I'm not sure, can handle carrying the load anymore, and the offense isn't getting any better. I mean, you're taking a step back. Whether Brian Griese helps you for half a season or something, you still don't have your quarterback moving forward. But yeah. I think the Lions win.
I agree with you guys about Brian Griese. I don't think that this is the answer. I think he's a backup at best. But I do think with all the turmoil that the Bears have been through over the last year and a half now, with this situation, it's been very emotional there. This is what a lot of those players wanted. I think they get an initial push in this first game with Greasy, and I think that Chicago wins this game and covers as well. But I don't think long-term that they're in any better shape today than they were yesterday when Rex Grossman was still the quarterback. I agree totally with you guys. I just think that they're going to get that initial bump of the adrenaline of making the change, and after that they go back to what they were.
It's going to be a big week for Vegas. Another road favorite, Green Bay 2-point favorite at Minnesota. This is a tough one. I'm going to go with the Packers. I just think the Vikings stink, and I'm just going to keep picking against them. That's my only reasoning.
Where's this game?
At Minnesota.
I am going to go with the Packers grudgingly. Is it begrudgingly?
Begrudgingly. I don't know, ask Ari Sky.
And just hope that Adrian Peterson doesn't run all over them. Other than that, I think the Packers, two bad teams, the 3-0 bad Packers, will not finish the season 16-0 like these Patriots.
Yeah, I'm going to take an upset here and take Minnesota. I'm pretty sure I took Green Bay in the paper, so I'll have all my bases covered. But I think
what you do.
Favre, I think, you know, tends to struggle a little bit in Minnesota. He's played so well the first three games. I think, you know, that whole, you know, managing the game kind of thing that he's been trying to do this year, I think he's going to feel a little good about himself and hear all this good stuff that people have been saying and, you know, start throwing it around a little bit. And like you said, Andy, Adrian Peterson maybe, you know, gets it done for them. And if Kelly Holcomb's going to play, you know, maybe they have a little bit more of a chance to move the ball against Green Bay's defense. I'll take an upset. I'll take a shot.
My guy's asking for his job back, I saw. Says he's healthy, wants to play.
Yeah, let me know how that works out for you. Go ahead, Tom.
Finally, a home favorite, Dallas, with a whopping 13-point favorite over the Rams. To me, this is a 10-point line with them making Dallas 13 because they're good again and the public is salivating. You know, they don't play often, but the Rams, they catch them in this spot sometimes. They did it when they were 13-3. It's one of those teams you just hate to see the Cowboys play here. I'd be impressed if Dallas really whooped them. I think they'll struggle a little bit. I'm going to take Dallas. I'm going to take the Rams to cover just because the line is so big. If they really whoop on the Rams here, then I'll be impressed. But I think there's going to be a little bit of a letdown here. They just had an emotional win at Chicago.
I'll do the same. I'll take the Cowboys because I think they're the better team, but it's a big number. I'm still not sold on the Cowboys' defense and in terms of playing consistent football on either side of the ball. But the Rams, without Steven Jackson, is Bulger's banged up too?
I didn't know that. I know, but Jackson's out.
I think you'll get some big plays out of that passing game, but they won't have enough to win it.
Yeah, I'll make it unanimous. Too big of a number for me here. Even without Jackson, you see a lot of times, you know, the team misses their big star, and initially they're able to overcome it a little bit, and, you know, guys pick up the slack. I agree with Tom. Big emotional win for them against Chicago. I think it's hard to stay at that level. I'll take St. Louis with the points, but Dallas to win the game.
Another road favorite, the Jets 3.5 against the over the Bills in Buffalo. No contest for me. I was in that Bills locker room. They're demoralized. Not only did they have injuries coming into the Patriots game, right, but they got a bunch in this game. I just think you're probably going to win. Another example of a team going to win two or three games. I hope it's not this week. I'll take the Jets.
I'll take the Jets, too. Tom says he was in that locker room. He's lucky they didn't try to sign him because they're a sinking ship in terms of talent. Every day somebody's getting hurt. And they're a sinking ship in terms of no leadership on any level. They stink, and they're going to get beat.
Yeah, I can't add anything to that. I'll take the Jets both sides. I think Buffalo is one of those teams that I will be picking against every week this year, and I'll take the two or three losses I get.
Yeah, I just didn't really understand it.
Carolina at home, a 3-point favorite against Tampa Bay. You know, a friend once told me, he said, you know what, you're wrong a lot. But sometimes
that was a very smart friend.
He said, but sometimes the thing you say happen later. And remember last year I was all on Tampa Bay. You know, they're going to the Super Bowl. They couldn't win a freaking game in first place.
But you know what?
I'm afraid that I've missed my boat again. But this week I'm going to go with Carolina. You hate to have Carolina come out of your mouth because every week you never know.
Because you wonder why they were in there.
every week you never know what they're going to bring. But at home, I'm going to give them a chance here laying the three.
Oh, boy. I don't like either team. I'll take Carolina because I picked them to go to the Super Bowl, and I think they're a more talented roster. But I'm not sure I feel good about David Carr playing. I just pick them because they're at home and they're the more talented team, I guess, in general.
Yeah. I'm going to take Carolina, and I'm going to have the same trepidation that you guys do. I don't have any faith in the Panthers at all, but I just think they're a better team.
Okay. Another road favorite, Seattle 2 over San Francisco. I'm going to take the Niners. I picked them to win the division, I think. I can't remember. I'm just taking the Niners.
San Fran is getting two?
Yeah, Seattle's a 2-point favorite. I'm still not. I know Seattle won last week. I was really surprised by that. I don't really like him. Plus, Alexander's hurt now.
Right.
And I know
he's
going to try to play through it. But
I think God's going to help him?
Yeah, San Fran's defense shuts them down a little bit, and offense gets rolling a little bit. I don't know. I'll just take the Niners.
I'm not saying.
This in San Fran, you said?
I'm just going to say.
I'll take San Francisco. I don't like Seattle. And this week, Deion Branch doesn't have his big play. Nate Clements shuts him down. Our boy Patrick Willis plays all over the field. I saw him making some nice plays in coverage highlights.
He's good.
So I'll run with Patrick Willis and Tom's boys. Yeah, he has talent.
Yeah. I like San Francisco in this game as well. Seattle's one of those, I think, destined to be 8-8 teams. And
what am I doing right now, Paul? Mic got in the way. Let me do it again. closing the window on Seattle.
The window has closed.
I got that right as you started.
Everybody
to talk.
Was worried that they wouldn't be able to re-sign all these guys. Alexander, well, they re-signed what they wanted to re-sign, and the window is still closed.
Yeah, I'll take the Niners.
Okay, another road favorite, Pittsburgh 6 at Arizona. I like Arizona's defense, but I don't like this. What's going on? You bringing in Kurt Warner, this washed-up has-been. What's wrong with Leinart?
Now the trouble is there's rumors that the players all want Warner.
I think people want quarterbacks to be superstars way too early. I don't think Leinart's done anything wrong to say that he shouldn't be the quarterback there. Maybe the players want Warner, and for a short period of time, I'm sure he'll throw for 300 yards, but I'm going to take Pittsburgh with the blitz to get to Warner.
What the hell was the blitz?
The outside. That guy can't move.
I am going to take Pittsburgh, too.
He really does think he's Lee Corso.
He does, because I think Pittsburgh's the better football team. And I agree with Tom. I don't know what the – if you're Ken Wisenhunt, you're not on the hot seat. So unless Matt Leinart's good, you're going to be on the hot seat in a couple of years. Yeah. So build with Matt Leinart and don't do this, oh, he's good at the hurry up, we'll bring Kurt Warner in when we need him kind
That's
of crap.
That's the part of it that I thought was strange.
Stupid.
The hurry up was
stupid.
I'm going to take Pittsburgh, too. I'm a little worried about it going across the country and all that stuff. And I like I said earlier, I don't think Pittsburgh has proven anything yet. So I'm not sure I just pencil in – a 6-point win across the country. But the Warner thing, if the players want Warner, I can understand that because the players are playing for now. The coach, Andy's absolutely right. Wisenhunt, if Matt Leinart can't play, Wisenhunt's not going to be the long-term coach of the Cardinals. So you need to find out if the guy can play. I think that's a mistake. I think you're stunting the kid's growth, and I don't think it makes any sense at all. For the players, I understand. Some of those guys aren't going to be here in 3 years.
Right.
They want to win now, and Warner probably gives them a little bit better of a chance to win right now than Leinart. But I think you're sacrificing the good of the team, for the immediate, possible immediate gains. I'll take Pittsburgh.
Okay, San Diego at home.
I thought you fell asleep.
No, I was just thinking because Denver and Indy are playing this week. The last time we went to a Monday night road game, they played the late Sunday game. Remember that was the Reggie Wayne?
I do.
San Diego is 12 at home against Kansas City. I'm going to take San Diego to win, but there's no way I'm laying 12 with that team. Not what I saw, the looks on their faces. I just don't know if they're there. I can't lay that. I just can't.
I'll take San Diego both ways. One of these weeks I'm going to be right in saying they come out and just explode because they have the talent. And they say, screw Norv, we're just going to score touchdowns and make plays. I'll go with this is the week.
Yeah, and I think this is finally, I agree with Andy, I'm going to do the same thing. It's finally the week that the other team can't
Stinks.
Put enough points on the board to prevent them from getting the number. Larry Johnson, San Diego's defense is pretty good against the run. So, now you're really handcuffing that offense in Kansas City. I'll take San Diego.
Indianapolis, 9.5 over Denver.
In Denver?
In Indianapolis. I'm going to take the Colts to win the Broncos with the number. I think it's a big game for Denver. I think they come out and play well. They run the football a little bit against that overrated defense that Andy talks about.
Yep.
And these two usually play pretty good games, so I'm going to take the Colts to win and the Broncos to cover.
I will do the same. I've been a little disappointed in my Broncos that I was planning on riding to the Super Bowl. But now since the Patriots are going to go 16-0, they're going to go to the Super Bowl. The Colts score enough points to win, but the Broncos do indeed. Travis Henry run the ball.
This
as
is
Tom
in,
would do.
In Indy, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to take Indy both sides. I think that they usually blow the doors off of the Broncos in the dome, and I think
That's
they'll
true.
Do it again.
Okay, another road favorite, the Giants at home getting 3 points against the Eagles. I think last week was an aberration. They ain't fooling me. I'm going to take the Giants at home, getting the 3. They had a good win last week. I think they get another one here. I don't like the Eagles, and I don't think they're as good as they looked last week.
I don't think the Eagles are as good as they looked last week, but I think they're better than the Giants. I don't like the Giants, and hopefully Brian Westbrook plays. If so, I take the Eagles.
Yeah, I'll take Philadelphia, too, and I agree with both of you guys. I don't think either one of these teams is very good. I think the Giants really stink, and that's why I'll take Philadelphia.
Monday night, another road favorite. The New England Patriots are 7.5 against the Cincinnati Bengals. A big line. I don't know. I don't think it's going to matter. I think Cincinnati might stay around for a little while. I think they'll be up for the game. I think they'll play loose, but
Patriots will just score whenever they need to, run the football, throw it, whatever. Patriots win pretty easily.
Patriots roll, as I said on the TV show, 42-17, number four on the way to 16 of these babies.
I'll take the Pats, both sides as well. Are there buys this week?
Yes, I know Tennessee has a bye.
Okay, just wanted to make sure we didn't miss any games.
I want to read a portion of a quick email from Phil, Annapolis, Maryland. Lastly, I'd like to make an edit to my last email that seemed to suggest I wanted to lick the sauce off Paul's fingers. I should have written, Paul, I want to lick the sauce off your fingers, Perillo, with all hyphens in the middle, as in that's like your nickname. But the way he originally typed it apparently made it look like he wanted to lick your fingers, and he wanted to clarify. And then he also says, Andy,
glad we clarified it.
You are the lollipop man because of your big head. Get your weights and your HGH and start to work on that body again. And Gary, way to go, double blowing up Craig. Great show. Well, Phil, thank you. I think we had a pretty good show today, but that's going to put the wraps on it for PFW in Progress. Feel free to send vodka, tequila, and food at any time. Up next, John Rook with Patriots Playbook, and we'll be back on Friday. This is PFW in Progress.